I'm Kim Cartwright. Passengers flying Qantas, Jetstar, Tiger or Virgin Australia will be banned from bringing the recalled Samsung Galaxy Note 7 on all flights. Qantas spokesman Andrew McGuinness says the ban takes effect this morning.
They will not be allowed to have these devices either on board or in their check-in luggage.
ACT Labor has won another 4 years in power after the Canberra Liberals failed to convince territory voters to change government. While a final result won't be known for another week, Labor is in a position to form minority government with the support of the Greens. There's an outside chance Labor could form a majority in the 25-seat Legislative Assembly. With 76% of the vote counted from Saturday's election, both major parties are guaranteed 10 seats and the Greens won. 4 seats remain in doubt. A man is in police custody after the fatal shooting of another in Tasmania's northeast. Police discovered the body of a 47-year-old man at a home in Lotta, a former mining town, yesterday evening. He appeared to have suffered a single gunshot wound. A 65-year-old man who is understood to have known the dead man is being questioned by police. A motorist has been arrested after allegedly stabbing another during a fit of road rage in Sydney's east. A 24-year-old man suffered stab wounds to his thigh and hand after an alleged road rage incident in Mascot yesterday afternoon. A 58-year-old man handed himself into police later that evening, where he was charged with grievous bodily harm, to appear in court today. The Queensland Government has removed 65 crocodiles due to safety concerns this year. Environment Minister Dr. Stephen Miles said the removals were mostly from the Cairns area and the Government's management plan targeted crocodiles that were aggressive or more than 2 metres long. The number of crocs removed is up from 37 last year and 62 in 2014. But Dr. Miles said the number of removals did not mean there were more crocodiles in public waterways. The figures could simply reflect an increase in the number of reported sightings, weather and breeding patterns, he said. New research reveals many of Australia's 2.8 million unpaid carers are putting their own health and well-being on the back burner. The survey to mark National Carers Week found more than 1 in 10 unpaid carers believe their own health takes a back seat to the person they're caring for. AmCal senior pharmacist James Neville says they also found many unpaid carers are experiencing financial and emotional stress.
Well, in addition to the physical demands of the job, many unpaid carers are faced with emotional strains, feelings of social isolation and financial pressure. There are also challenges in the workplace, with many admitting their colleagues or managers don't quite understand the demands of their role.
Overseas, and a Saudi-led coalition has blamed wrong information for the bombing last weekend of a packed funeral hall in the Yemeni capital that killed at least 140 people and wounded some 600. The coalition's joint incidents assessment team said a party affiliated with Yemen's General Chief of Staff headquarters had passed intelligence that the hall was filled with leaders of Shiite Houthi rebels. The investigation team called on the coalition to immediately review the rules of engagement and recommended that compensation be offered to the victims' family. Also in news, two Polish men have been arrested in Sydney over an ecstasy drug bust, and strong winds in Victoria have again caused power outages. This is Air News. Diamonds netball skipper Claire McMenamin says her side's defensive combinations are beginning to bear fruit after a clinical 12-point Constellation Cup victory. McMenamin lived up alongside goalkeeper Sharni Layton at the back in Auckland and duly kept Silver Ferns gun Bailey Mez quiet in a 62-50 win. The Diamonds rearguard successfully pressured Mez and her teammates out of the game, halting the flow of ball from midcourt and launching quick counters. McMenamin and Layton had made a combined 4 deflections and 2 intercepts, while wing defence Gabby Simpson chipped in with 3 intercepts and deflections apiece. The result gives the world champions a 2-1 lead in the 4-game series and near insurmountable 22-point goal advantage, making their retention of the cup a formality. Greg Inglis and Valentine Holmes have spearheaded Australia to a comprehensive 26-6 win over New Zealand at NIB Stadium in Perth. Inglis earned Man of the Match honours on the back of a try-double, and Holmes wasn't far behind on his test debut, scoring 1 try and setting up another. Kangaroos captain Cameron Smith told Channel 9 the second half was where his team really shone.
Played a really clinical second 40. Boys ran hard, boys tackled hard, and it's nice to see a couple of set plays come off as well.
To tennis and world number 1, Novak Djokovic has suffered a shock 6-4, 6-4 loss to Spaniard Roberto Bautista Agut, while his fierce rival Andy Murray beat France's Gilles Simon 6-4, 6-3 in the Shanghai Masters semi-finals. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, sunny, winds north to northwesterly, 15 to 25 k's, increasing in the afternoon, 0% chance of rainfall, which is great news, and Sydney's heading for a balmy and sunny top of 30 degrees today. Jimmy, what about at Penrith and up at Port Macquarie?
Well, funny that, because Penrith's bloody hot, 31 today, and that'll be the maximum out there at Penrith. At Port Macquarie, though, sunny day, 26 degrees.
Lovely weather.
Absolutely perfect, Raymond.
Have you sat down in front of a new Sony 4K UHD TV lately? The picture quality's incredible. I could stare at it for hours, except Mum would say, get back to work. And until Sunday, save 15% off the ticketed price on a range of 4K UHD and Full HD Sony televisions at Bing Lee. Check out our huge range and talk to people who really know TVs. Get a great deal on a great TV at Bing Lee. And there's a great deal more in store.
All covers, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the title.
International Racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
So Hawthorn have done it. The first team in the 18-10 competition to go back.
And Zab won this race, the Australian Grand Prix in 85. In 2016, Nico Rosberg wins the Australian Grand Prix.
Prince of Penzance from Max Dynamite. Prince of Penzance, it's history at Flemington. Michelle Payne. Prince of Penzance beat Max Dynamite.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, welcome to the program, ladies and gents. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. It's an early start, isn't it, Raymond?
But yeah, we're used to that, Jim.
Yeah, we bounce in here on a Sunday morning. Can't wait for the next 3 hours. We've got a
massive show.
After being chided last week, we've got a entertaining program coming up, and we're looking forward to that. Might be a little misleading, that, but anyway. Race replay, fully sponsored now, fully sick. That's what I say about the race. How many we got this morning, Roman?
I might have six or seven.
hang on a minute. Six or seven?
Big racing Sydney.
Haven't
Melbourne
we got a maximum on that?
Not when you've got a sponsor, now that Lucrif are on board.
Lucrif Super on board, so... I tell you what, Raymond's taking control
this
here.
This show's going onwards and upwards, isn't it?
The future of this program's secure,
yeah.
Raymond.
Well, yeah. Didn't know it was in trouble.
Oh, I did.
Well, actually, probably.
Exactly. Bryce Hayes, what a win from Spieth. Missed the jump, no problem. Weaved his way through.
Great ride.
Yeah, excellent ride too. So we'll have a chat to Bryce Hayes about that one. Bjorn Baker. Gee, the Kiwis are going all right, aren't they? Here we go. One, two Kiwis to start the program. Bjorn Baker, after the run of Egyptian Symbol, now she is going to be something else, broodmare point of view.
And a good racehorse now, though, Jim.
Yeah, okay. She's still not finished yet. We don't know whether she'll go to Melbourne, the Magic Millions, Sydney in the autumn, maybe all three. We'll see what happens. We'll hear from Bjorn about that. John Thompson, very emotional about first seal, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Blake Sheen.
Good to see that, because they both invested so much in that mare, Jim, and she's a Group 1 winner.
Yes.
Five-year-old mare, probably all the portents where she'd be retired, but John Thompson said to the owners, she has more to give on the racetrack. They've backed John Thompson's judgment, vindicated yesterday.
First seal owned by the China Horse Club too, so John has convinced them to have another preparation with First Seal, and she's repaid them. Phil Moss with all the latest from the world of football.
Some big scores here.
Big scorelines here. Yeah. Big stars come out to play too. Timmy Cahill with
a
goal there for
goal
Melbourne City. 4-1 over Melbourne Victory. Sydney FC, the good guys, 4-0.
And the Wanderers got up in Adelaide on Friday night, 2-1. Fantastic. Coming from 1-0 down against the Premiers.
I said they might lose Nikolai Topper-Stanley. Didn't play in that game. It might be a trade there. He is a valued member of that team, and you would think it would be a chance for him to get a bit of a payday. I think he's about 31 years of age, Nikolai. So getting towards the end of his footballing career. Event Cinema quiz. We've got a double pass to give away. So they are on, courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. And just getting word through now, Raymond, that Prakash and the team at Event Cinemas at Parramatta have been voted best event cinema. Best cinema manager / owner. In the Southern Hemisphere.
How many votes were collated, James Smith?
Oh, a huge number.
Like one?
It's like these online polls. 67% say this. What, three voted?
Exactly, yeah.
Two said yes and one said no. No, well, there's nothing like that, Ray. Anyway, it's got a unanimous decision from us here, isn't it?
And that's all that matters.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. We'll have our scratchings from Tanya as well. Our legend of the game, what about this? On Friday night, I was lucky enough to attend St. Gregory's College Campbelltown Sportsperson's dinner, the annual dinner, and hosting out there, and had the chance to speak.
So it was a free gig for, it was a gig for you, wasn't it?
It was gigging. Essentially, I was gigging. Yeah, it's a good way to put it, Raymond.
Exactly.
Monty Panesar.
He was in the crowd, was he?
Not only was he in the crowd, he spoke. Dress code was black tie, strictly black tie. Mm-hmm. Monty missed that memo.
I did.
Turned up in jeans and a tee. But let me say this. He is a confident young man.
It didn't worry him?
Didn't worry him one bit. Got up, told a few gags, told a few stories about his cricket career. And I immediately thought, this is a guy we've got to have on Sunday morning.
That's because our other potential legend fell over on Friday.
No, couldn't get Rod ready. But anyway, what?
Or John Newcomb.
Yeah. Monty Panesar is our legend of the game. He'll be entertaining.
Looking
He'll be fantastic.
That, yeah.
What a career. 167 test wickets over 50 test matches. That's a career, Roman.
Look, he's 34. Test cricket gone past? Is it gone past him? He's still a chance.
You can ask him that.
He's
playing for the Campbelltown Club, just the one for against Sutherland yesterday at Glen McGrath Oval. So, Monty Panesar. So, send us in. Do you want to send in, give us a question for Monty? He was such a popular player, wasn't he?
He was
a real crowd favourite.
Both in England and here in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. 1353 53. Or you can get us on the SMS, 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. And, of course, you can get us on the tweets as well. We've got lots of tweets coming through already, and we'll get to them throughout the course of the morning. And that Twitter address is Big Sports WEND, Big Sports WEND. We'll speak to Trent Lanscow. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. We'll have a chat with Stewie Clark about what's been, well, I think a very tumultuous week. In the history of the game in this country from a cricket point of view. And Scotty Foster will be along for a chat as well. So lots going on. I feel like I've said good morning to you already, Ray Thomas, but I'll say it again. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. I was at Caulfield yesterday, Jimmy,
yes.
And that was as dominant a Caulfield Cup win as I've seen in many years.
Wow.
Probably have to go back to Might and Power.
Really?
And he romped in by 7.5 in 97. She had that race won on the home turn. Nick Hall was swinging off her. The key now will be tomorrow, just what penalty she gets for the Melbourne Cup, Jimmy.
Right.
She currently has 52 kilos. I reckon she might get about 2 kilos, which will bump her up to 54. People might think, oh, that she's okay with that. But that still would be, if she can win with 54 kilos,
yes,
the second highest weighted mare ever outside of Mackayby Diva to win a Melbourne Cup. I'm just assuming she'll get about 2 kilos, Jimmy.
Who is that? Who's the second highest?
Well, Mackayby Diva's got the top two, so one of the mares carried more weight to win a Melbourne Cup. And that's Mackayby Diva.
Okay.
If she gets 50, if she gets 2 kilos to 54, that'll put her in very rare company. But so impressive yesterday. She's going into equal favouritism for the Melbourne Cup with Hartnell. How good does it make the Hartnell form line? Because he brained her in the Turnbull two starts back, and it sets up the big showdown, Jimmy, next Saturday, Hartnell versus Winks for the Cox Plate.
$1.93. Write your own ticket after that,
Winks
isn't
on
it?
Top,
yeah,
it is,
Winks on top at $1.90, Hartnell $3, and then Yankee Rose, you get out to $15. Blackheart Bart, $17. Haraki,
$17. Could be a race for the ages. Jimmy, you mentioned earlier about the tumultuous week in cricket.
Yes.
And the Phil Hughes inquest, as tragic as that incident was, I understand legally you have to have an inquest. But, gee, I thought it was really tough on the players, on the family, on all cricket fans to have to go through that. The lines of questioning from some of the lawyers, I think, was was really poor, and it put the players in an uncomfortable position. It put the family in what must have been an awful position, having to go back over that whole tragic scenario.
Yes.
And let's face it, Jimmy, it was a shocking and tragic accident, nothing more, nothing less.
I think the word that's been used so often with this, Ray, is freak. It's
exactly.
A freak
yeah.
accident. It is a freakish accident. But in saying that, Malcolm Knox wrote a really interesting article in the Fairfax Media yesterday, and along the lines of, no one can tell a family how to grieve. No one,
absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
you can't even empathise with them. So as a result of that, you know, it gives you some sort of basis as to where the family's coming from. It's just such a sad situation.
It is, yeah.
Such a sad situation.
I just couldn't see the end result from it. That was all, Jimmy. I just couldn't see an end result from the inquest, given the lines of questioning that was... And the pressure that some of the players were put under in the witness box as well, given what you just said. It was a freakish circumstance, which hopefully we may never, ever see again.
Well, I think I was speaking to... an international cricketer during the week, and he said, a current international cricketer, and he said, the Hughes family's gone through an enormous amount of pain, and now players are going through an enormous amount of pain as well.
So
and again, players exposed. If it was said to me that they were bowling short at Philip Hughes, and they were sledging Philip Hughes, I would have said I totally understand
that's
that and
game.
Would have expected that.
That's the game. And Phil Hughes was in his 60s, early 70s, or in his
63.
60s at the time, yeah,
yeah.
And batting well. And
yeah.
Ian Chappell's written a really good column today in the Sunday Telegraph where he thinks if this horrible tragedy, if any good, if that's the right word, it's impossible to find the right word in this situation, Jimmy, to come out of this, it could be that it puts more focus on the on-field sledging and whether... the players have crossed the line in that regard, and maybe the game can bring it back a little bit, you know. So, but
well,
what could come out?
Some of the things
they
were looking at, procedural inefficiencies around medical staff at grounds and so forth like that. I totally understand, but it seemed to be much more than that, and seemed to be putting, I feel, unfair pressure on the players who certainly didn't deserve it. So we will take your thoughts on that, how you've seen it play out, because everyone I've spoken to during the course of this week has an opinion on it. Everyone. 1353 is that open line number. Des Hazler survives. Des Hazler survives. Bulldogs fans, give us your thoughts.
Steve Mortimer didn't.
I was going to say, Steve Mortimer doesn't. So to be honest, when he came out and said those things in the press, breaking ranks, essentially, you'd prefer to keep those things in-house, but knowing Steve Mortimer as I do, a passionate
hard
man.
Hard on his sleeve, man.
Yeah, hard on his sleeve, man. I probably understand the outcome where he resigned and Des Hazler retains his position. Makes it interesting that they were chasing Dean Pay very hard for 2 months. Won't hear it directly from anyone at the club, but they were chasing Dean Pay very hard to come back. Of course, an old Bulldog, so that'll be very interesting. Well done to the Kangaroos, 26 points to 6. Over the Kiwis last night over there in Perth. Sold out NIB Stadium. 20,000. Over 20,000 there for a rugby league test match, which was a good one. Not an overly dominant performance from the Australians, but a real professional finish to the game from them. We'll take your thoughts on that. We're going to get to Nick Kyrgios. Don't worry. That's a talk topic after the break. But the other thing I wanted to mention was Tyler Wright. She becomes world champion during the course of the week, a young Australian girl, and she has always been of talent, but now she has actually translated that into a world championship,
year,
and it's just unbelievable work. So lots to celebrate, and after the break, the release of a talk topic that we think, dare I say it, gangbusters.
In 2014, my life changed in a blink of an eye when I was tackled playing rugby league for the Newcastle Knights. I'm Alex McKinnith. Until then, I didn't know what an unpaid carer was or what they did. But I do now, thanks to my beautiful fiancée Tegan, my friends and family. Chances are, at some point in your life, you'll either know a carer, be a carer, or like me, you'll need a carer. This National Carers Week, find out more at carersweek.com.au and show you care about unpaid carers.
How would you like to own a mobile coffee franchise for under $50,000? You can with The Coffee Guy. Be part of the thriving coffee industry. Find out more at their free information seminar on October 22. See the Coffee Guy van in action. Try the coffee. Meet the franchisee. Spaces are limited. Register online now to qualify for one of three 6K startup bonus packs. Find out more at thecoffeeguy.net.au. Terms and conditions apply.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, a couple of things I wanted to mention. I didn't get a chance to see the Kangaroos. You mentioned them briefly before the ad break. Greg Inglis, man of the match. You said they were okay without being spectacular?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was probably a couple of opportunities that they missed. There was a few players that were a little bit rusty, but none more rusty than the New Zealanders.
Yep.
So, and I think Phil Gould made mention of it during the course. Their last tackle options, they just give themselves no chance.
The Kiwis.
The Kiwis just gave themselves no chance to build any sort of pressure against an Australian side, and that's how you beat them. You've got to build pressure against them.
I was driving home from the airport. I caught the last 5 minutes, and they said the two Seans, Sean Johnson and Sean Kenny Dow, had forgettable matches for the
Sean
Kiwis.
Kenny Dow turned over a lot of football. Sean Johnson was quiet, and that's not what you want from your number seven.
Trent Merrin?
Trent Merrin was very good in the first half. Second phase play was excellent.
And Valentine Holmes?
Wow.
He's a good player. Yeah.
What a run he's having. He will be available for Queensland next year because he wasn't available this year. He'll be available next
year. Jimmy, quick mention of the A-Leagues. There's been a couple of spectacular results. Timmy Cahill's wonder goal last night. Have you seen that?
Yeah, saw
Phenomenal,
that.
Phenomenal, absolutely outstanding. Sydney FC off to a fantastic start. They've now scored 8 goals in 2 games. Considering last season that was their Achilles heel, so to speak.
They had a lot of injuries last year.
They did,
their key strikers.
Just couldn't score.
Alex Broski in particular. And
Melbourne City have sent a shot across the bow of all other A-League teams, I think, with that result last night against Victory
4-1. How do we go with Melbourne Victory? Do they now, we call them Melbourne defeated?
After that, 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1. You've been spanked 4-1. Melbourne Victory. Oh, we're the Victory. Well, not tonight, you're not.
I mentioned the Wanderers earlier. The Wanderers were fantastic. Jimmy, some great things happened in sport during the week, but one thing that really rankled me was...
Good word, rankled.
Yeah, the situation with Nick Kyrgios in... It was China, wasn't it?
Yeah, Shanghai Masters.
He came off his Japan Open win. We've got to say he tanked it. He didn't try. And to me, if you're an elite sportsman with enough ability to compete at the highest level in any sport around the world, you're in a very, very fortunate position that a lot of people would love to be in your shoes.
Yes.
And for him to waste his talent the way he is. I know he's won 3 tournaments this year, and I know he's
number 16 in the world.
14 now.
14,
after,
is he?
After Japan Open, right. He's gone to 14 in the world. But, and that to me, as a kid who used to love his sport,
Now you're a man who loves your sport.
Yeah, I played for Keats and everything, Jimmy. Yeah. I just can't understand how a young man who's got the world at his feet, as much talent as anyone swinging the tennis racket at the moment, can just walk on the court and be as disinterested as he was in that match in China.
I heard about it on the radio. I heard Gemma Cutting tell us about it on early on, what it might have been Thursday or Wednesday morning, whatever it was, and I thought, oh, yeah. And then I saw it and I went, oh, my God, that's
awful.
Is disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful, and I can't understand how anyone could be able to accept that in any way.
Well, what about
I hope Leighton Hewitt doesn't accept it.
What's Tennis Australia? What are they doing? What about his flippant remark that, you don't have to pay and come watch me if you don't want to?
Oh,
it's extraordinary.
Talk about out of touch. I thought it was completely disgraceful. Like, of all the things Nick Kyrgios has done, and he's done a few. Talent aside, of all the things that he's done, this was easily the worst.
Which brings us to our talk topic.
Tank jobs. So, worst things we've seen, disappointing things we've seen from sports people.
On the field.
The worst things that we've seen. And unfortunately, from a rugby league point of view, John Hopewade springs to mind.
He does.
springs to mind. Worldwide coverage for all the wrong reasons. All the wrong reasons.
One of the things that absolutely probably shocked me almost as much as curiosity was Mike Tyson that time, biting Evander Holyfield's ear. Not once.
Not once.
Twice.
Not twice. Yeah, extraordinary. Twice. Yeah. So there you go. There's our talk topic, 13:53:53. If you want to get involved, moments in sport on the field or on the court that have left you wondering what on earth is going on, that have really disappointed you. 13:53:53. We'll find some Sony Music CDs to give away to the best callers. Let's go now to the callers. Rod is there. Hello, Rodney.
Morning, man. How are we?
Really well.
Good morning, Rod.
Still riding the wave, mate.
Oh. We didn't hear from you last week, Rod. We were very worried.
Oh, I was a bit sick.
Yeah, well, Ray was worried. I was less so.
I knew you'd be right, Jimmy. That Nick Kyrgios thing is probably the worst thing I've ever seen in sport, actually.
Oh, it was
disgraceful,
shocking.
Wasn't it? Absolutely disgraceful.
Like driving around at Bathurst at 5 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
Really. Anyway, just on the inquiry about Phil Hughes' death this week and stuff, I just want to put a message out to the Hughes family. I don't know if they're listening. But I know it's a real tragic situation, but at least your son Philip died doing something he loved, and that's the only solace I can give, really.
It's a very tough situation.
A lot of parents lose their kids in unfortunate circumstances. A lot worse than that. I feel sorry for you guys, but as I said before, at least he died doing something he loved. And he knew what he was up to. Every time he walked down that cricket field, he knew he was going to get peppered with short balls. He knew what was coming. And the courage of that man, he stood there and took it. Mm. And unfortunately, he lost his life doing something he loved.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Thanks, Rod. We appreciate that. You don't expect it, though.
Mm. Freakish accent, you said, Jimmy.
You don't expect it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing that's a concern, obviously, for the Hughes family. And that's why we're in the middle of... Mm. Oh, sorry. We've just had the inquiry that we have. Adrian's on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Look, just before we talk about Canterbury and the football last night, the thing with Nick Kyrgios, simple. It's integrity.
Exactly.
I read something about 5 months ago. If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters.
Well said.
He doesn't have integrity.
No,
it was awful to watch, Adrian. It was terrible.
It's as simple as that. He falls into that other category. Mm. And you can't have... Yeah, you know, I had a pretty good day the other day. I had 95% integrity, Then I was a bit off the other day. I had 85%, I had 100% or zero. So he falls into the category, the second part.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yes.
What did you think of the Kangaroos last night, Adrian?
Well, just quickly, just on your talk topic, Rod Reddy's all-out assault on Ray Price.
Was that the 77 grand final?
Yeah, you know, I can't remember when it was, but it was an absolute disgrace.
77 grand final, I reckon. So,
I've spoken to Ray about this. Obviously, I mean, Ray Price, to me, easily the greatest eel ever, and twice the football that Rod Reddy will ever be, and Ray Price is the best back row I've ever seen. But that was appalling that Gary Cook was the referee. The guy, he should be ashamed of himself.
Wasn't it Kevin Sheedy the other day who said that Ray Price was probably the most...
Mark Jackson.
But we had Kevin Sheedy on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned Ray Price as being one of the toughest competitors he's ever seen in any sport.
Ferocious competitor, from what we understand.
But also a gifted, talented. He's got about 80 tries, Ray Price. And
will to win, didn't he?
Hello? Well, quickly, Adrian, come on, get to the test match.
Excuse me. Can I talk about Des Hasler as well?
No. Okay, come on. Well, look, mate, we're not here for your benefit, Adrian. You need to get to your talk topics a lot quicker. Don't line them up and say, I want to talk about this, and this. Seriously, mate. If you want to hear what Adrian had to say about that, just wait for an afternoon program and you'll probably get that at that chance. Hello, Doug.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray. Hello.
Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Not bad, thanks. I was going to talk about the topic of Trevor Chappell underarm bowling to the New Zealand player.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one.
It's very hard to beat that one, Doug. Yeah.
That
was pretty
good. Brian McKechnie
threw his bat away in disgust.
That's right,
Rod Marsh folded his arms and walked off shaking his head.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It should have been a no ball.
Yeah, incredible.
No, it was legal.
It was legal at the time. Is it still legal in the rules?
Yeah. Good question.
That is a good question.
Don't know. I surely it would have been.
Either way, it's not ethical.
Good on you, Doug.
Love it.
Adrian, now listen to Doug there. Doug had a point that he wanted to make. And you know what? He made it.
And Jack from Old Bar, exactly the same one, the underarm bowl.
Yeah.
Trevor Chappell.
And, of course, instructed by his brother Greg to do so. And Trevor Chappell now synonymous with underarm bowling. Couldn't believe Rex Arnott couldn't
Kiwis
look after him.
Kiwis will never forget it, Jim.
Yeah. No, they won't, too. They remember lots of stuff, those Kiwis. Time for the news. Back soon.
Kim Cartwright. Passengers flying Qantas, Jetstar, Tiger or Virgin Australia will be banned from bringing the recalled Samsung Galaxy Note 7 on all flights. Qantas spokesman Andrew McGuinness says the ban takes effect this morning.
They will not be allowed to have these devices either on board or in their check-in luggage.
ACT Labor has won another 4 years in power after the Canberra Liberals failed to convince territory voters to change government. While a final result won't be known for another week, Labor is in a position to form minority government with the support of the Greens. There's an outside chance Labor could form a majority in the 25-seat Legislative Assembly. With 76% of the vote counted from Saturday's election, both major parties are guaranteed 10 seats and the Greens won. 4 seats remain in doubt. A man is in police custody after the fatal shooting of another in Tasmania's northeast. Police discovered the body of a 47-year-old man at a home in Lotta, a former mining town, yesterday evening. He appeared to have suffered a single gunshot wound. A 65-year-old man who is understood to have known the dead man is being questioned by police. A motorist has been arrested after allegedly stabbing another during a fit of road rage in Sydney's east. A 24-year-old man suffered stab wounds to his thigh and hand after an alleged road rage incident in Mascot yesterday afternoon. A 58-year-old man handed himself into police later that evening, where he was charged with grievous bodily harm, to appear in court today. The Queensland Government has removed 65 crocodiles due to safety concerns this year. Environment Minister Dr. Stephen Miles said the removals were mostly from the Cairns area and the Government's management plan targeted crocodiles that were aggressive or more than 2 metres long. The number of crocs removed is up from 37 last year and 62 in 2014. But Dr. Miles said the number of removals did not mean there were more crocodiles in public waterways. The figures could simply reflect an increase in the number of reported sightings, weather and breeding patterns, he said. New research reveals many of Australia's 2.8 million unpaid carers are putting their own health and well-being on the back burner. The survey to mark National Carers Week found more than 1 in 10 unpaid carers believe their own health takes a back seat to the person they're caring for. AmCal senior pharmacist James Neville says they also found many unpaid carers are experiencing financial and emotional stress.
Well, in addition to the physical demands of the job, many unpaid carers are faced with emotional strains, feelings of social isolation and financial pressure. There are also challenges in the workplace, with many admitting their colleagues or managers don't quite understand the demands of their role.
Overseas, and a Saudi-led coalition has blamed wrong information for the bombing last weekend of a packed funeral hall in the Yemeni capital that killed at least 140 people and wounded some 600. The coalition's joint incidents assessment team said a party affiliated with Yemen's General Chief of Staff headquarters had passed intelligence that the hall was filled with leaders of Shiite Houthi rebels. The investigation team called on the coalition to immediately review the rules of engagement and recommended that compensation be offered to the victims' family. Also in news, two Polish men have been arrested in Sydney over an ecstasy drug bust, and strong winds in Victoria have again caused power outages. This is Air News. Diamonds netball skipper Claire McMenamin says her side's defensive combinations are beginning to bear fruit after a clinical 12-point Constellation Cup victory. McMenamin lived up alongside goalkeeper Sharni Layton at the back in Auckland and duly kept Silver Ferns gun Bailey Mez quiet in a 62-50 win. The Diamonds rearguard successfully pressured Mez and her teammates out of the game, halting the flow of ball from midcourt and launching quick counters. McMenamin and Layton had made a combined 4 deflections and 2 intercepts, while wing defence Gabby Simpson chipped in with 3 intercepts and deflections apiece. The result gives the world champions a 2-1 lead in the 4-game series and near insurmountable 22-point goal advantage, making their retention of the cup a formality. Greg Inglis and Valentine Holmes have spearheaded Australia to a comprehensive 26-6 win over New Zealand at NIB Stadium in Perth. Inglis earned Man of the Match honours on the back of a try-double, and Holmes wasn't far behind on his test debut, scoring one try and setting up another. Kangaroos captain Cameron Smith told Channel 9 the second half was where his team really shone.
Played a really clinical second 40. Boys ran hard, boys tackled hard, and it was nice to see a couple of set plays come off as well.
To tennis and world number one, Novak Djokovic has suffered a shock 6-4, 6-4 loss to Spaniard Roberto Bautista Agut, while his fierce rival Andy Murray beat France's Gilles Simon 6-4, 6-3 in the Shanghai Masters semi-finals. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny in Sydney today. Winds north to northwesterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour. Look, windy down at Caulfield yesterday, Raymond.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, very windy.
But nice day.
Increasing to north to northeasterly, 20 to 30 kilometres. Look, you're always a glass half full man racing on Sydney. Near the coast in the afternoon. 0% chance of rain.
Loving that.
30 degrees in Sydney town. What about at Liverpool? And let's go west to Louth.
Louth. Liverpool, ditto Sydney. Beautiful day, 30 degrees and sunny. Out at Louth.
Yes.
Currently it's 12 degrees.
Oh, it's a bit fresh.
A little bit of rain forecast today, Jimmy. 14 degrees out at Louth.
This racing wrap is brought to you by Lucrif Super, a proud supporter of the National Jockeys Trust. You'll see their name on the backside of every jockey this spring.
Welcome back to the program, mate. Can you just clarify with our weather?
It was Louth in the UK.
If you're listening in the Louth, UK from Louth, you've got a weather update.
17 degrees.
Okay,
there is a little bit of rain coming.
There's rain coming at Louth in New South Wales.
In New South, not Louth in the UK.
Right, what's the maximum at Louth?
It's not 14, it's going to be 33 degrees.
When you said 14, I thought, 14?
Come on, that's ridiculous.
I agree, Tubes. Absolutely ridiculous.
33 degrees sounds
right. Now, did we get our sponsors away for the race replays? How about that?
Lucrative Super. Happen one day, Jim.
Yeah. Well, you put it out there in the universe, and now it's happened. Well done.
So this, hence, an extended program today. Extended race replays segment.
How many we got?
Only got seven. So we'll rush through them because there was some great racing yesterday. The first from City Tats Cup. Janoob wins for Chris Waller. Oh. He was a one-time Caulfield Cup favourite a couple of years ago.
Janoob.
He's getting older, but he's still winning good races.
400 metres to run. It's Sense of Occasion from Amex. Allegri is taking a split. Then Janoob, Murphy's Delight inside the 250. Here comes Allegri giving chase to Sense of Occasion. Janoob, though, he's in for the fight today. And Janoob hits the lead from Allegri. Murphy's Delight runs on. But Janoob under the pump's going to take out the Tattersalls Club Cup. Janoob won it by a length to Murphy's Delight. I think just grabbed second in front of Allegri.
I reckon I've backed Janoob a couple of times for wins. He's a too.
Tough old horse.
Yeah, and I used to like the way that it went. So good win there. Cape Crusader, who I backed, picked up an injury, I think.
Pulled out of the race.
So disappointment there. Where are we going next, Raymond?
Brian Crowley Stakes. We're talking about how good the Colts are this season. We saw a couple of really good fillies in this race. They beat the Colts. Sprite was outstanding. Far Away Town third, but all honours with Sprite.
On the turn, it's Super Maxi straightening in front, shifting away from the fence from Foxtails, and El Divino's given a very tempting run on the inside. Guard of Honor's been cuddled up the rise. Sprite cuts loose the outside. Suspender's trying to go with her at the 250, and Sprite races to the lead from Guard of Honor. Then Suspender's Star of Monsoon late, but Sprite has drawn clear from Guard of Honor. Wide out Star of Monsoon rattling home, but Sprite's got it one, and Sprite draws clear to win the Brian Crowley. Star of Monsoon grabs second in front of Faraway Town.
All right, what's next for Sprite?
She was so good yesterday, Jim. I wonder whether Gary Fraser's even thinking of giving her a chance in the Kilmore Stud Stakes.
Okay.
Against the top colts, like the Asterns, etc., Extreme Choices and Star Turn. But she was really good yesterday, quite dominant late, and well done to Gary Fraser. The Nivison was the feature event at Randwick yesterday. Egyptian Symbol had been trying the house down, and she ran right up to that form.
into the straight. Magic Alibi leads from Egyptian Symbol and the well-supported Artistry. Then Rule the River back on the fence. Further back to Kimberly Star and one more Zeta. Collar pulled the trigger on Egyptian Symbol and there was a good response from Artistry in second. Then Kimberly Star, one more Zeta. But Egyptian Symbol going great guns below the 50. And Egyptian Symbol wins the Neverson from Artistry. Game in defeat second. Rule the River third. Then Kimberly...
Good week there from Bjorn Baker. Melbourne beckons. Melbourne beckons. Magic Millions beckons.
A lot of options for her. Really good mare.
And we're speaking to Bjorn a little bit later, so we'll have a chat to him about that.
And speaking about a lot of options and a really promising young racehorse, this Spieth, outstanding win yesterday. Oof. Missed the kick. I thought, oh, well, he can't win. Do you back him? Could you be owned to back him?
No, I didn't.
You put it on Twitter yesterday.
I put
yesterday
a tweet
morning
out to Bryce. Good luck today for Spieth. And I
even
said
you had a bet.
Yeah, I had five bets yesterday. There's been an SMS already saying, oh, Jimmy sounds a bit testy. Maybe he had a losing day on the punt yesterday.
No, you didn't back Spieth.
I did have a losing day on the punt.
You didn't back Spieth, and that's why you're upset.
Further back to Harara, Boss Lane working into the clear from ins and out. And Spieth is midfield leading. Plenty of luck. King likes under plenty of pressure. And that's a good idea. Race to the lead. Ins and out gives chase the outside. Ins and out swept to the front from That's a Good Idea. Watch out for Spieth. He's really starting to power now. Kaepernick wide out. But Spieth hits the lead from Kaepernick late. Spieth gets the money. Last out, first home. Spieth beat Kaepernick late. And Le Cordon Bleu.
Good call, Darren Flindell. Last out, first home. Spieth wins.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it was a great... And it looked like he ducked on the... Going to look on the inside there, Jay Ford, and went, no, that closed. I'll go back to the outside. And ended up getting home. So, great performance there from Spieth.
We'll talk to Bryce Hayes shortly. Gee's managed that horse well, and it's all ahead of him now. He's highly promising. Down at Caulfield, you mentioned earlier that... Blake Shinn and John Thompson, this win meant a lot to them,
yes,
to get First Seal back in top form in the Tristark Stakes.
Pearls has peeled out to make ground and then First Seal. So Tycoon Tara for home. Leads by about two lengths. Pearls quickly on the scene. Then Magic Orton. Shillelagh got badly hampered there and knocked down. It's Tycoon Tara the leader. First Seal is looming with Pearls and Den Magic can't quite get clear. Tycoon Tara, First Seal coming hard. She's a lot fitter today. Raced up to Tycoon Tara. Grabbed her and won. First Seal got there today. Beat Tycoon Tara. Pearls third. Now Danish...
Yeah, great performance there from First Seal. Needed a run to John Thompson's comment was she just doesn't, you just can't get a fit on the training paddock. You've just got to get her in the races. And
so big.
She needed that extra run last time around. And
back to her best. Sydney mares 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Sydney trained horses won 6 of 10 yesterday.
Oh, isn't that good?
Dominated.
You'd have been walking around, strutting around yesterday with a chest.
Backing him, that's the main thing, Jim.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Did get on Jamaica. I thought... early in the week, about the 3:40, she was too short. I thought she was the horse to beat in the Caulfield Cup, but I wasn't prepared to back her until she got out to $4. She actually started at 4:20. She turned this into a one-horse procession. It was all Jamaica.
They run to the home turn in the cup now. Scottish in front, Sir Isaac Newton straight up to second, and Jamaica right around the outside of these two is starting to run on well now. Here's the favourite, Real Love, trying to thread through, and next came Articus in the straight they race, and Scottish the leader, Jamaica coming out after him at the 200, and Hall sends the favourite to the lead. It's Jamaica drawing three quarters on Scottish, running on his exospheric from the back, but it's Jamaica clear with 100 metres to go. She's going to romp it, and she's coming away. The favourite all too good for Nick Hall, and Jamaica won by 3 to Scottish. Exospheric ran third. Al Moonquist got home for fourth, and then Real Love.
Yeah, didn't she win well? Kieran Maher, great win for him. Hare's looking magnificent, by the way. Kieran, well done on that one. Stylist doing a great job. Hartnell and Jamaica, the $5 equal favourites for the Melbourne Cup.
How about that, eh?
Now, what about the performances of some of the other horses you thought were good Melbourne Cup trials?
Scottish isn't in the Melbourne Cup. He still is, but it's unlikely to run.
Right, okay.
I thought he was brave yesterday, so I wonder whether Godolphin might have a rethink about him. Exospheric, Lee Friedman was also lukewarm about a Melbourne Cup runner, but I think if this horse pulls up well, he's a definite chance. I thought his performance yesterday was excellent. Al Moonquist,
yes,
most unlucky, ran fourth, probably should have almost run second. He's a horse, if the tracks stay dry in Melbourne, come Cup Day, watch out for Al Moonquist. And Al Ivanhoe's run was unbelievable. What price is he in the Melbourne Cup, Jim?
Well, Exospheric is $13. Scottish is $17. Al Moonquist is $21. And Al Ivanhoe is $26 at tab.com.au.
That was a fantastic run by our Ivanhoe yesterday. But the two at the top of the betting, particularly Hartnell, they're the ones to beat, Hartnell and Jamaica.
We're getting excited about the Cox Plate already, aren't we?
Yeah, fair enough. And then had to throw in the Rockhampton Rocket. He was fantastic yesterday. He's getting as old as me, but down the outside came Albert Malachi. I didn't back him, Jim, but I still gave him a big cheer.
Go, Team Hawks.
In behind them, Lincoln Rupee waiting on a run, and Wild Rain hard ridden by Baster in the straight now and moving up Fartanar. Lincoln Rupee, the gap's not quite big enough for him there. Fartanar, Lincoln Rupee can't get through. Now the gap's open. Is it good enough? Here's our boy Malachi starting to fly home, though. He swamps him on the outside. Our boy Malachi got to the lead, and our boy Malachi from last beat Fartanar and Lincoln Rupee. Close go for fourth. Aruhu's up there with one.
So there he is.
Miss backing him.
Yeah. How do you... You're on a racetrack.
Mm.
How do you miss backing a horse that you want to back?
Caulfield Cup was run.
Right. You're busy filing, are you?
So I was under enormous pressure and I was running late and I had to get a taxi at 6:15 and I literally was in the zone.
Right.
Racing at Caulfield. Oh, no. Our boy Malachi missed the jump.
Missed it. So. Oh, well.
Anyway, those things happen. But yeah. Great day at Caulfield. Jamaica outstanding in the Caulfield Cup. And 12:30 tomorrow, her penalty. Highly important.
Okay.
She's got 52 now. Gets any more than 2 kilos, I think it might be a big steadier, Jim.
There you go, ladies and gents. That's the race replays from yesterday Sydney and Caulfield. A fully sponsored segment, courtesy of Lucre Super. We do appreciate
that. And we're out at 6:45 as well. So.
Oh, look, highly efficient as well. Lots of SMS coming in, mentioning Adrian, by the way. Morning, Jeremy. So this is one to Jeremy, our producer. Yep. Jeremy and Tanya over there. Jeremy. Morning, Jeremy. Why did you let Adrian on? Jimmy was going so well. Received the CD. Thank you, boys. It's great. That's from Judy. Good on you, Judy.
Yeah,
you're right. Manly Man Al comes up with a good one. Morning, boys. My point. Adrian reminds me of the comedian Sandman, a.k.a. I choose to start the story now. He's a mate of mine, Steve Abbott.
Is he really?
He's a great man. So, yes, it does. Yes, Adrian, we start the story when we want, not when you want, just to clear that up.
This one's from Tom. Ray, Law 24.1b says underarm bowling shall not be permitted except by special agreement before the match.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, so there you go. Thank you, Tom. We do appreciate that. So never before, never again. Right, about time on this topic. Worst thing I've seen on a sporting field, 1999 Rugby League Grand Final, penalty try. First in history, Chris Ward, video referee, made the worst decision ever, which cost the Dragons a premiership. I was there and am almost over it. Tony from Naruma.
Tony must be a Dragons supporter.
Oh, of course he is.
I can sympathise with you, Tony, but there was no other decision to make, was there?
Absolutely the correct decision. A huge decision, but the right decision. Tony from Naruma, get over it.
This Saturday night, Sky Sports Radio covers the biggest and best in greyhound racing. From Melbourne, the meadows will come alive as Australia's best chasers clash in the Sky Racing Top Gun.
Fernando gets home. Fernando bows from the Top Gun from K to Shea.
In Sydney, Wentworth Park will shine with the Vic Peters Classic semi-finals. Don't miss Top Shelf Greyhound Racing, Saturday night on Sky Sports Radio.
Have you sat down in front of a new Sony 4K UHD TV lately? The picture quality is incredible. I could stare at it for hours, except Mum would say, get back to work. And until Sunday, save 15% off the ticketed price on a range of 4K UHD and Full HD Sony televisions at Bingley. Check out our huge range and talk to people who really know TVs. Get a great deal on a great TV at Bingley. And there's a great deal more in store.
Japan, Korea,
the best of Asian racing,
live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales, Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, love this one from Eagle-Eyed Phil. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. A big sporting flavour to the winners yesterday with Jamaica, whose middle name of Serena Williams.
Ah, there you
Karen Maher's a massive Serena Williams fan. They wanted the name of Serena, but they couldn't. So Jamaica was the next one.
Okay.
The Rockhampton Rocket, our boy Malachi winning at Caulfield.
There you go.
And Eckstein, and Eckstein and Spieth winning at Randwick, and Spieth actually beating Kaepernick. Well done, Eagle-Eyed Phil. All very famous sporting names.
Yeah, well spotted. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. My worst moment in sport was the disgraceful boo. This is from a Queenslander, by the way, so let's put that into perspective. The disgraceful booing of King Wally Lewis by the Sydney crowd before a Kangaroo test match. Wally was captain of our national team, and the crowd's lack of respect was shameful.
That's not a bad point, actually. Yeah.
That was Brett from Broadbeach. Good on you, Brett. P.S. Jimmy, well handled with the caller Adrian the Narc. Adrian, make your point and get off. Thank you.
Brett
from Broadbeach.
Yesterday, we said definitely the performance of the day at Randwick was Spieth, and his trainer Bryce Hayes has been good enough to join us pretty early on a Sunday morning, and tremendous effort by Spieth yesterday. Bryce, good morning. Congratulations, and gee, this horse is back in a big way, Bryce.
Yeah, top of the morning, gentlemen. He was good yesterday. Very good.
Yeah. What happened in the barriers there? Like barrier two, and obviously loaded in early, and then I think Jay was trying to get the attention of the attendants, and then they just jumped. Has it been a habit previously for Spieth at all, Bryce?
He's had a tendency to be so away, but I honestly believe it wasn't all his fault yesterday. And watching it live, sort of 3 or 4 seconds before they did actually let them go, I was obviously watching our stall, and I noticed he lunged at the gates because I made Jay very aware he must make him jump. And so Jay was on the job. I think the horse anticipated a dipping lunge in the front of the gates. Then he sat back on the gates. Jay turned around to get one of the barrier boys to just to hold his tail to get him back up, and at the start I just let them go. So Jay was sort of looking the opposite direction. So I just think it was just a culmination, but split-second thing, and I'm not sure it was entirely the horse's fault yesterday, to be honest.
What was your initial reaction, Bryce, when he did come out slow? Did you think it was almost game over?
I'll be brutally honest, I was okay. I just thought, oh, well, we'll run a good third here.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to savage the line, and what I had, what we talked about pre-races, because of all that speed drawn out wide, albeit you didn't want to be sort of midfield on the fence or anywhere around that area in the run, that's naturally where we were going to be, you know.
Yep.
There was no other place in the running we were going to be. But I did say to Jay, there's going to be a heap of galloping room in there because no one will want to go there. All the speed's drawn out. They'll all want to go forward. So as it turned out, once he missed the start, look, it's not ideal at all. But there was all that room up the inside.
Yes.
And the horse just tracked straight up on the bridle through there. And he was doing that relatively easy. And horses can do that over, you know, on those short courses like 1100 when they're just going so hard up in front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he got a little bit of luck in that respect. And it wasn't about whether the horse, it was just about needing the sort of right run yesterday. And the most nervous point for me is probably about at the furlong when he was trying to come out, because all I said to him was, do not go back to the fence. Do not go back to the fence. I said, I'll cop it if he's a good thing beat, as long as you're trying to come out. Because I said, if you're patient and come out, the run will come, I'll guarantee you. And just fortunately enough, it sort of worked that way.
But I reckon there, at that point, maybe a little bit beforehand, Jay was looking to duck back on the inside.
Oh, he was, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I was with Ronnie Quinton in the weight room, and I let out a couple of expletives. The one thing I didn't want was just going back to that inside, but nevertheless, look, it was a really good heady ride, and that's why we put Jay on the horse.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, wasn't it? He had a look on the inside, and then probably the words of you ringing in his ear, he said, don't go back to the outside, and it just opened up for him. Was he, I suppose he, because he had to do that work early on in the race, probably didn't finish as strongly as you would have anticipated?
Sometimes it does go the way you sort of anticipate. And I just thought, I said to Jay, like, you just be patient like that. If you're going to grab them, you'll grab them the last 50. And that's sort of the scenario. I've copped a bit of a hammering in the last sort of, overnight, because I probably chose my words poorly yesterday when I said he was a false favourite on the radio. I wasn't trying to throw anyone off. It was just a matter of where he was in his prep and his condition where he was drawn. I apologise to anyone. I don't back my own, so it wasn't me trying to throw off. But I just thought he was going to get in a tricky situation there yesterday, which he definitely did at times. And just for where he's at, I mean, he's only coming off a one barrier trial. We hadn't got as much work into him as I would have liked. I would have liked to see him a little bit more tighter. So I just didn't want the preparation buckled by him not savaging the line. And if you just sort of hold him up and savage a line and the brakes come his way, you know, he's really hard to hold out.
Yeah, they get confidence, don't they? You've managed this horse so well, Bryce. You haven't been tempted to push him into better races too soon. But after yesterday's win, I guess you've got to start to aim high now.
Yeah, well, we only got six in work race, so we've got to look after him.
Yeah.
It's hard to get one this fast, you know. So, look, the plan was to obviously ideally win yesterday, which is good for him commercially. And he'll have one more run. There's no doubt in that will be down the straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest it would be 3 weeks from yesterday, but we'll make that decision probably next weekend, you know.
Is that the Salinger or something like that, is it, Bryce, or...?
Possibly the Derby Classic, because that's the only race he's been in for all spring. So
take on
we'll
the
just let
boys,
the dust settle. We won't charge on down there. Make sure the horse is good over the next sort of 7 or 8 days, because the horse that feels his run, he definitely felt that run yesterday. We'll just see where we're at in 10 days, to be honest, Ray. Make a decision then.
Fair enough.
It's been a couple of years now, but why Sydney Racing, Bryce? What promotes a young guy from you? New Zealand to walk into John O'Shea's stable and say, can you give me a job?
Oh, it's the hardest. Honestly, there's no, you know, it's dog eat dog. It's cutthroat. It's, you know, week in, week out, you know, whether it's Canterbury at Warwick, it might only be Canterbury and Warwick Farm on a Wednesday. Then, you know, Ramick and Rosehill on a Saturday. There is, I can assure you, there is no tougher racing in the world. And, you know, it's just so highly competitive. It's very difficult for you know, trainers in my situation that have only got a few in work and even mid-sized stables and trying to, you know, get some exposure, you know, on the bigger stage on a Saturday, let alone be at a stakes race. So, look, it's just the hardest, Jim. Like, you know, so if you want to compete, and don't get me wrong, I've had a really, really tough 18 months, but... yeah, like it's if you want to sort of test yourself, which I've always done in my life, and I've just always admired Sydney Racing just for how tough it is, you know.
Yeah, right.
Well, Bryce, the best advertisement for any young trainer is to have winners, and particularly a promising horse like Spieth, and I think that made a lot of people sit up and take notice yesterday, and the world's his oyster, and I'm sure we'll hopefully we'll have you on plenty more times.
Now, just before we go, massive league. Hang on, mate.
Jeez,
the Kiwis, not so
don't.
Good last night. Bryce
has hung
up there.
Everyone tried to get me to go out last night. I said, no, it was baked beans at home on the couch. Watch the Kiwis give the kangaroo a taste of kiwi. It just spoiled the bloody night, I can
spoiled
tell you.
Oh, it's funny, that. I thought it was all right. But anyway, that's just me. Hey, Bryce, congratulations. Well done with Spieth. Very exciting, and great to have you on the program.
Really appreciate your time, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Bryce.
There he is, Bryce Hayes, youngster doing really well.
Yeah, it's the best advertisement, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Horse like
winning
Spieth,
horses, yeah. Doesn't hurt.
He's a good football in his day, too.
Yeah, nice. I know. I read the articles about him. He posted them to me. So there you go. No, he didn't.
He wouldn't do that.
No.
Well, he didn't mention the great octagonal died yesterday. We're just watching his run in the Derby there, 1996, one of the all-time great races at Randwick. And
24 years of age?
Yeah, what a champion he was. He was a 10-time Group 1 winner.
Wow.
Probably not a super success at stud, Jimmy, but he did throw Lonro. So he produced a horse probably as good as him, which very few stallions can do. And I know he's one of the most popular horses I've ever seen race. People loved him.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? I remember going to the races in 96 and, you know, not a massive race fan, but I was there
people
to watch Octagonal.
Yeah. The Big O.
The Big O, and died at Woodland Stud at Cootamundra.
Is that one Cootamundra,
yeah,
was it?
Okay, yeah. So there you go. Boys, what about Mel Shoemaker pulling the leg of rival jockey Tommy Hill in the 1961 Derby? That's Wayne from Baralla.
The old leg pull Derby cost Mel Shoemaker 10 years of his riding career. At a peak of his career, too.
They added him for 10 years?
He was actually disqualified for life, and they eventually reduced it to 10 years.
Right.
So and he was a Melbourne...
So Nick Kyrgios... Take heed.
Absolutely, yeah. Another one here. Hi, Eddie from Glenfield. Eagle Farm Racecourse, August 1984, and Fine Cotton wins a novice after being backed in from 33s to 5-2, Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
Returns to scale, all hell breaks loose. more or less across the nation as we're all thinking, what's going on here? Harbour Gold is awarded the race, and of course, we know the rest, Jimmy.
Wow.
Do we? Well, we know what happened subsequently. An infamous moment in Australian racing history.
That's one of the great trivia questions of all time. What was the name of the real name of the horse?
Yep, Bold Personality.
Bold Personality. Yeah. Well done. Well done. There you go. There's another couple of SMS coming in here. And good morning, gentlemen. Jay Ford is the most underrated jockey in Sydney. He doesn't ride for a big stable, but he gives all his mounts the best possible chance. Regards, Patrice.
I think the best comment I ever heard about Jay Ford came from the great Mick Dipman, the Hall of Fame jockey, who I think is probably the best rider I've ever seen, along with Darren Beedman. Asked Mick Dipman one day about Jay Ford's and what he was doing with Takeover Target, and Mick Dipman said he never makes a mistake.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, which I thought was the best possible compliment a jockey could give another rider, particularly when you're riding a high-profile champion like a Takeover Target, which he did, I think, to 20 race wins, Jim, all over the world.
Well, we saw it yesterday with Spieth, didn't we? He almost took a wrong turn going back to the fence, and then he didn't. He got the right one. Ray, do you have any have you laid any long-range bets for the Cup after yesterday's results? Do you think you will?
I haven't. I do like our Ivanhoe, though.
$26
each
at
each way. I thought his run was terrific, and Lee Freeman was very bullish about him after the race.
So there you go. There's the tip. No name on that one, but that's the tip coming through from Ray Thomas. The tip from us is that after the news at 7 o'clock, Bjorn Baker, John Thompson, Phil Moss, the Event Cinema's quiz, the scratchings.
All happening.
You know, it's jam-packed next hour.
I'm Kim Cartwright. ACT Labor has won another 4 years in power after the Canberra Liberals failed to convince territory voters to change government. While a final result won't be known for another week, Labor is in a position to form minority government with the support of the Greens. The Liberals went backwards on their 2012 performance, recording a 3.8% swing against them. The Labor vote was up slightly, 0.2%, while the Greens held their ground with 10.6% of the primary vote. Liberals leader Jeremy Hansen has all but conceded defeat. It's the case that it's very difficult for us to form government, and we have to acknowledge that from here it is unlikely we will do so, he told supporters. ACT Labor has been in power for 15 years. Airlines Qantas, Jetstar, Virgin and Tiger have followed the lead of the United States and banned all passengers in Australia from flying with the Samsung Galaxy Note 7. Qantas spokesperson Andrew McGuinness says it's the phone's risk of fire that necessitated the complete ban.
They will not be allowed to have these devices either on board or in their check-in luggage. So if we could please ask people to leave those phones at home and to speak to Samsung about what they do next, but they can't come on board.
Previously, the airlines had allowed the phone on board if it was switched on. An award-winning Australian cameraman whose work has appeared on the Emmy-nominated Life on the Reef, as well as Wolverine, Home and Away, MasterChef and Underbelly, has been remanded in custody after being charged with multiple child sex offences. The 36-year-old was arrested by Redfern-based officers and detectives from the State Crime Command's Child Abuse Squad after a search warrant was executed at his home in Mascot. Police seized a Hummer vehicle, computers, mobile phones and clothing. The man has been charged with 8 offences, including aggravated sexual intercourse with a child aged between 10 and 14, and 3 counts of possession of child abuse material. An intruder has been shot and a security guard received a stab wound after an attempted break-in at the Malibu home of Australian supermodel Miranda Kerr. A security guard opened fire after disturbing an intruder who stabbed him in the face and arm. The witness said it all happened very quickly.
First, a guy went around that house, and that's when the security guy saw him. And he approached him, and the next thing you know, the knife came out and he got stabbed in the eye, I think in the arm.
Police have confirmed that Kerr wasn't home at the time. Former Brisbane Lord Mayor Jim Sawley has been appointed to head a panel to review the performance of Queensland's Electoral Commission. The review will look at the performance of the Commission during this year's local government elections, the referendum on fixed 4-year terms for state parliament, and the by-election in Toowoomba South. The panel will also include former Logan Mayor Pam Parker and former South Burnett Mayor Wayne Kratzman. Attorney General Yvette Darth said state elections were automatically reviewed, but there was no legal requirement for local government elections to be reviewed.
Also in news, a week after strong winds saw almost 130,000 Victorian homes without power, fresh gusts have caused further blackouts. The SES received more than 235 calls for assistance yesterday as winds up to 89 kilometres per hour felled trees and damaged buildings. And briefly, a 65-year-old man is in police custody after a fatal shooting in Tasmania's northeast, and a 58-year-old man has been arrested for stabbing a 24-year-old in a road rage incident in Sydney's east. This is Air News. Tim Cahill made his A-League debut for Melbourne City in last night's Melbourne Derby, a winner. City won in emphatic fashion, demolishing Melbourne Victory 4-1 to go joint top of the table after two rounds. 43,000 people provided the electric atmosphere for Cahill's stunning performance, including a 40-metre goal to mark his return to league football in Australia in awesome style. In basketball, Sydney coach Andrew Gaze feared the worst when Kings linchpin Kevin Lynch crumbled to the floor with a head injury in last night's 92-78 home win over the Cairns Taipans. A dazed and bloodied Lynch was helped from the court by medical staff after a collision with Cairns forward Mark Worthington late in the third quarter. Lynch was cleared of concussion but received four stitches to a cut in his left ear. The Kings boosted their record to 2-1 and next face the New Zealand Breakers on Thursday night in Auckland. It remains to be seen if Lynch will be cleared to play. Chloe Hosking has fallen short of her rainbow jersey target in the oppressive heat of Doha, finishing seventh in the women's road race at the World Cycling Championships. Hosking was in the thick of the action, finishing in the bunch sprint won by Denmark's Amalie Diderichsen, who claimed the honours by snatching victory from Dutch star Kirsten Wild. The 134-kilometre race took place in searing heat and saw Finland's Lotta Lepisto third, defending champion Lizzie Danen fourth. Also in sport, the West Indies are 6 for 315 against Pakistan at stumps on day three. Australia.
The countdown to the race that stops the nation is underway.
Al Mernquith about 2 lengths in front of Dan Dino. He holds him at bay safely and Al Mernquith will rock it in.
This Wednesday, we're off to Geelong for one of the main lead-up races, the $300,000 Cup, where internationals again take on the locals. Form analysts Dean Lester and Mark Hunter will have all the winners, followed by our race day coverage. Wednesday, Geelong Cup Day, here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
How would you like to own a mobile coffee franchise for under $50,000? You can with The Coffee Guy. Be part of the thriving coffee industry. Find out more at their free information seminar on October 22. See The Coffee Guy van in action. Try the coffee. Meet the franchisee. Spaces are limited. Register online now to qualify for one of three 6K startup bonus packs. Find out more at thecoffeeguy.net.au. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, this next caller found love in a very unusual place. Tell us about it, Damo.
Yeah, I was actually out on a boat with the boys.
I'm intrigued.
It was the 2015 Epsom Handicap. I was miles from a TV, so I watched it live on my Tab app. And winks. Wow.
You've got to love that. It's easy to love a bet this spring when you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live, and relive the action with the Tab app.
Tab. We love a bet. Replays available on all New South Wales races. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, beautiful day today. Sunny winds, north to northwesterly, 15 to 25 k's, increasing a little in the afternoon, but 0% chance of rainfall. That's the good news. Sydney heading for a top temperature of 30 degrees. Jimmy, what about at Warringah and down at your old hometown, Wallumbean?
Well, Warringah, it's a very nice day today here, 29 degrees. As for Wallumbean, it's rarely not a nice day, I'd have to say. Although rain increasing.
You put yourself into that.
Rain increasing and 25 degrees at Wallumbean.
But now Winks is starting to extend from Dibiani and Haraki. Oh, she's a wrecking ball, Winks. And there's the seventh picket in the fence. Winks goes on to win the Chipping Norton, beats Dibiani and Haraki.
Not only is Henrik Stenson the Open champion, it's the lowest score anyone has ever made in the Open. 20 under par. What a performance. A round of 63 with four birdies in the last five holes. He took everything Phil Mickelson could throw at him. And on the day, he was just too good.
Queensland have won game two. They put one and two back to back. The Blues, they sink to the ground exhausted. Queensland have won another
Triple Series.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
And welcome back to the show. Big second hour coming up, Jim, to use one of your words.
Yeah, it's bigger than massive, isn't it? Yeah.
We can't use massive or gangbusters. They're on the bench for
a while. We've already used gangbusters.
I know, on the bench they are. Hey, Jimmy, we're
not going to bow to the wishes of the listeners, Ray. We're going to be strong-minded.
They're our listeners.
Until Jeremy tells us to do something different. Okay. So there we go.
I never asked you, is your mum still at Wollumbine?
She moved from Wollumbine into Cootamundra and then from Cootamundra down to Bowral.
Don Bradman country.
So the second person to move from Cootamundra to Bowral, Bradman. And actually, she's over at our place this morning. Good morning, Mum.
Oh, good morning, yeah. Mrs. Smith.
Morning, Mum. So I've got the mother, the mother-in-law, and the wife all...
Oh, Tracy's mum is down from America as well.
Mary's down, yeah. So, looking for horses yesterday that stayed like a mother-in-law.
Surely you've got no other gigs this afternoon, have you, Jim?
I have got a gig this afternoon.
Oh, no, you've got your mum and mother-in-law up here.
Yeah, I have got a gig this afternoon. We're going to lunch.
Both months. That's the only gig you should be doing. And you're paying, of course.
Oh, we're trying to work that out.
No, you'll be paying. Don't worry, Mrs. Smith and Tracy's lovely mum. Jimmy Smith will be paying.
But if they choose to throw in a
bit
of
cash... They won't be doing that. They won't be. If there is, there'll be a massive inquiry. All the money you earn, all these gigs you have.
Listen, come on.
I'll ask Bjorn Baker because he...
Oh, speaking about blokes who are tight...
No.
Oh, is he on the line yet? Oh, whoops.
He's probably going to hang up on us now. He just had a great win with Egyptian Symbol yesterday. You don't want to talk to him. Bjorn, I want to talk to you. Good morning, Bjorn. Congratulations. And, gee, the mare's back in great form. She trialled enormous going into the Nivison and she raced right up to that form.
Yeah, she went gangbusters and what was a massive day at Randwick. Actually, my mother-in-law was staying as well.
Oh, there you go.
Lunch
today, Bjorn?
Stopped me from having a pretty big night.
Oh, there you go. Hence we got you this morning, yeah.
Put it this way, I'm happy to drive her to the airport.
Well, I hope she's not listening.
No, she's great. She came to Randwick yesterday. She had a great day. She actually thought it was a massive day and... she thought a few of the horses went gangbusters as well.
He's too good. Better give Bjorn a CD for this. This is outstanding.
No, he gets enough from Sky Channel, Sky Racing. Don't you worry. Are you still on any programs or they got rid of you off all of them?
No, I've been axed now. I've got to start to train a few winners. It's great to hear from you guys. This is a highlight of my week.
And as a result, who does your PR? Because there's a big article in the paper yesterday about Egyptian Symbol and so forth. Have I paid you your retainer yet, Ray?
Have you got the green one?
I'm just trying to help the readers find a winner. That was awesome.
The green.
Well, we got them one.
We did. No, it was outstanding.
Mate, the green ones, I hear you're only offering red ones. That's about as high as you go.
Nothing there.
Well, that's actually the biggest node in New Zealand, Jimmy, so it's funny you say that. I'm renowned for my generosity.
There you go.
Yeah, of course. No, well done, SA. Fantastic. And look, I know Ray talked about a lot of the racing that's in front of Egyptian Symbol too, but I was thinking from a broodmare point of view and how impressed Bruce Neal would have been with that performance yesterday.
Yeah, he was thrilled. It was he's got the mother, obviously, and she was a great mare, and she's a lovely big filly that's taken a little bit of time to fill out. So... she's got a heap of residual value, and I still think the best is yet to come. So it's a little bit of a relief. I've had a bit of a run of outs, and that's exciting times. There's plenty of options for her.
And a bit of a run of outs for her too in some respects, wasn't it, Bjorn? Because she had all those stakes race placings last prep, but she came a long way in a hurry in the autumn, so it was good to get that stakes win off the cuff in the spring. Where to next now with her?
She is a Magic Millions filly, of course, so that's an option over the summer. In the short term, there's some good races for her in Melbourne. We may even just look at a filly for mares race on Melbourne Cup Day, which I won't be complaining too much about that. It gives me a chance to get away.
We'll just do one step at a time.
Sorry, honey, got to go to Melbourne for 5 days.
Horson having one run, but I'll be down there for 5 days.
Yeah. Nah. Is that how it goes, Bjorn?
It's amazing how your mother-in-law can improve when you've got kids, so I'll be honest with you.
hope that, she's not listening. I really do.
Yeah,
Neither do I.
There's no doubt about it, though. Yeah, you win the Group 3 up in Sydney, you think, oh, yeah, I'm number one in the family again. But then down in Caulfield a little bit earlier, Dad won a Group 3 as well with Eleonora.
He did, and she's on target for the Oaks, so she went super. He's still making me look bad, the old man and Andrew, but yeah. I'm trying to compete with him. So I'm just going to... It was actually a relief in many ways at Egyptian Symbol 1, that, of course, not being the least. But he loves coming over to Aussie. He loves competing here. We even support the Aussie Rugby League team, Jimmy.
You do, right. You
when
do,
they win.
Right.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Well, just on Eleonora, she won the Ethereal Stakes. She's a granddaughter of the Great Ethereal.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so she
I never realised that.
Yeah, I didn't either until Damien Oliver said it on course yesterday. But yeah, she's a granddaughter of Ethereal, who won the Caulfield Cup on the same day in 2001. Bjorn, with Egyptian Symbol, as I said, last autumn she had all those near misses. Yeah. Was it a source of frustration for you knowing that she's so well-bred, she's potentially worth so much as a broodmare, and you just kept getting all these seconds and thirds at group level?
Oh, she was running really good races. I think she got beaten by Southern Icon on Slipper Day. She won a really good race in a three-year-old sprint. So she was there or thereabouts. Yep. And if she's running well and competitive, that's all you can really ask. And you know you're in the game. And I thought she'd come back a stronger, better filly. Whereas last time in, she sort of went for the Magic Millions. We didn't have a smooth run, and then she continued on through the autumn. So she never really had a good break, and sort of this is her first time right, after having a good break. So it was nice from that point of view. Mm.
Last I saw you, Bjorn, we're out at the Camden Rams Rugby League presentation afternoon. You tipped us into that loser at Hawkesbury. You were headed off.
You tipped them into the loser. I'm not taking any responsibility for that.
You told me, and I just told the punters in the crowd. But you were heading off to China. How'd the trip to China go?
Yeah, great. Very interesting, and I thought it was very worthwhile. A lot of Chinese investment, a lot of resources now.
Yeah.
But no, it was a pretty interesting place, right up in northern China. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
And what about racing up there? I mean, if there's one country in the world that you want to, you know, kickstart racing, how would you describe horse racing in China, Bjorn?
Well, it's hard to know. I went to a race meeting, and the quality of horses, particularly even some of the earlier horses, that they sort of there's a Mongolian riding team, and it's a big part of their culture up in northern China, of course. Genghis Khan and Kublai Khan and so forth just about conquered the world, and you can see why, because they've got these ponies and some of the tricks they were doing on them, and then bow and arrow. And then it went into the racing, and some of it was actually reasonable quality. I think it was one of the races was won by a horse that had won a stakes race in Australia. So it was fairly interesting. If it takes off, there won't be enough horses in the world, that's for sure.
That's
but
true, yeah.
The big question is, how far away is it? Is it 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or will it ever happen? But they definitely love racing. They love their horses, and they have it's a big part of their culture. So we have a bit in common with them already. And of course, that Chinese rice whiskey or wine is very nice. You just have to drink it as fast as you can. Otherwise, it gets worse and worse.
You drink it, yeah.
Now, I've got a listener here, Bjorn, who said, when Bjorn said the mother is a lovely beast, just clarifying who he was referring to exactly, given the mother-in-law is staying with you. Can you clear up that for us?
What's my father's favourite saying? She sticks like a mother-in-law. That
I sure hope
horse.
She's not listening. I really do.
She's a good scout.
Yeah, no,
get off the phone before you incriminate yourself.
Yeah. No, but congratulations, Bjorn. Yes, sir. Good to see that mare back in such great form, and I'm sure there's more big race wins for her coming up in Melbourne over the spring.
Well, Thanks, guys. Keep ringing on Sunday.
Get on your beer.
Get you to ring.
Okay. Thanks, mate.
See, hey, it's going to be a massive morning. You two are going gangbusters as well. Jeez, you're going to.
There's got to be a CD coming Bjorn's way. Seriously, there has to
That's
be.
That's all he wants. That's the oldest trick in the book. They're not bad, the Kiwis.
Dream Lover, the Bobby
Bjorn
musical.
Yeah, Dream Lover. That'll be it. Yeah, that'll suit Bjorn perfectly.
Yeah,
Hun, your Superfund statement came in the mail.
Oh, thanks.
And another one, and another. How many do you have?
Lost track of your super? Paying a fortune in fees? Combine all your funds into one low-fee account with Lucrative Super. It's easy, and they'll do it all for you.
Mail truck's backing up, babe.
Oh, more super statements?
Yep.
Take control of your super with Lucrative Super. You'll see their name on the backside of every jockey this spring. Jump online today and search for Jockey's Backside.
Consider the PDS on our website before deciding to join.
Australians spend around 3.5 hours a day listening to audio. And it's not just radio. So to help advertisers make a more informed choice, we're giving some of the new players their fair share of time. I'm here with Mr. Apple Music.
Oh, thank you. It's been a huge year for Apple.
Great, thanks for that.
Wait, is that all the time I get?
Well, that's your fair share.
What?
Oh, well, Apple Music has less than 2% share of listening, so you get less than 2% of the ad.
What?
Sorry, I need to give radio its fair share.
How much is that?
Well, according to the latest Australian share of audio studies, almost 65%, or more than 2 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So to reach this growing audience of audio lovers, advertise on radio. Nothing else comes close. Find out how at radioitsalovething.com.
Oh, I was trying to block them. I'm sorry, I didn't know we'd come back.
You got to do the ad. We're on air,
and it's an important ad too. It's my favourite ad of the day. For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man? The man from Mazda. Come on, Jimmy, you got to focus, Jimmy.
Oh,
Penrith Mazda Centre is family owned and operated, with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including your favourite, Jim, the BT50.
Love them.
Because the BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque, and more comfort. Come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre Penrith, with over 40 BT50s on display at Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, that wasn't good radio. I also feel bad about this too, Jimmy, because John Thompson was looking forward to a sleep in the morning, and I hounded him on the plane on the way back to come on the show. So, look, I appreciate the fact he's coming on.
You were like Harry from When Harry Met Sally, that annoying guy on the plane.
Everyone,
just over the back of tapping him on the shoulder.
When the trainers see me walk over, they must run away thinking, oh, no. John, look, I'm sorry to get you on this morning, but I really wanted to appreciate and talk about First Seal, who was fantastic yesterday in the Tristark Stakes, and a lot of satisfaction to see her return to winning form, John.
Good morning. Yeah, no, it's great. You know, she's a horse that's pretty special to us. Mm. And, you know, it was good to see her come back and do it. It's good.
Why is that? I know she's been the Group 1 winner for and probably a stable star for a long time. And Blake Shin made mention of it straight after, John, the win. And he was clearly emotional about it as well. Why is First Seal so special to you?
Well, she just came at a time where it was a transition period for me.
Yep.
Going from a private trainer to a public trainer. I had a 50-box stable, which was completely empty. I had four horses left after all the Patnac horses went.
Mm.
I was lucky enough that one of them was First Seal.
Yeah. And as good as she's been, John, do you ever think what might have been, given that she's had those sort of recurring hoof problems, which have eaten away a lot of her, I guess, the best part of a four-year-old season?
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah, I guess it is. You know, she's had a couple of decent injuries the last couple of campaigns. There's no doubt it holds her up a bit. And you've only got to look at her. You wouldn't get a better specimen.
Yeah,
you know, she's just a tank of a horse.
Mm.
And, yeah, it's a shame to sort of know that there's a few niggles there and, you know, I'm sure it holds back. And the ability she does have, yeah, it's a bit sad, really.
And it takes racing to get a fit, from what I understand, too, John, which sort of surprised you last time around, where you thought she is ready to race, and maybe it just took that one competitive race before she got to winning form.
Well, that's it. You know, like, with those injuries, you can't get into them, especially being a big man, because they'll just break down. So you've got to gradually bring them along and, there's nothing like race fitness.
Yeah, and even yesterday, John, as good as she was, she had a bit of a blow after the race, so there's definitely improvement there going into the Myer Classic.
No doubt at all. She's really thrived since she's got to Melbourne, and, there's no doubt whatsoever she'll improve again.
John, how much pressure came from the owners, the China Horse Club, about sending her to the breeding barn when, of course, your desire was for her to keep running?
Well, it probably wasn't so much the main owner. Mr. Teo and his wife, they're lovely people, and they're the perfect owners, really. They give you the horse and you're in charge. The people around them were their advisors, were advising them that, you know, she'd done a job and to send her to stud, especially when she had the last injury. And they said, look, John's in charge, you know, we'll take his guidance. And I was honest with them and I said, look, she has done a job. She's won a Group 1. But look, in saying that, the injuries she's had are fixable. And she's only had 14 starts.
Lightly raced,
I think that there's more there's more left in her.
That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not someone to risk horses. I said, look, you know, we can bring it back and see how she goes. And, you know, it's only early spring. If she didn't come up, we can put her to stud. And they agreed and overruled their advisors and said, John can have her back and see what she does.
Yeah, and she's going gangbusters, and the Myer Classic is, I use that word, Jimmy, sorry, but she's going fantastic, and the Myer Classic is certainly the next target for her. What about Sir John Hawkwood? John, he was in a position where he could have been very competitive on the home turn, but just didn't quite finish off the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, look, it was a tricky race for him. He was in a good position early in the race and then copped a bit of interference, and we probably ended up 6 lengths further back than what we wanted to be coming to the 800. He had to make a move then to put him in a winning position on by the corner. But he's just the type of horse, if you make a long run on him like that, he's very one-paced. I mean, he's in the right position turning for home on Jamaica's back, but he'd spent too much petrol and he was a bit disappointing in the run to the line. And, you know, he has pulled up well. My girl in Melbourne said he's pulled up well and eaten well. But, it probably, for mine, wasn't a good enough run to go to the Cup.
Okay.
Interesting. Hey, John, I want to take you back to that time where you were. Well, you were still a private trainer for Patnack Farm. And you came on this very program. And it was about 4 years ago.
It was a day after Derby Day. Yeah.
And you told us, you know, feed wasn't arriving for horses, and you were very emotional that day. And in essence, that started the whole unravelling of Patnack Farm, deliberately or not. How do you feel looking back on those times now and the impact that it had on your life?
Look, it was tough. It was, it was a steep learning curve on different things. But, it was just a hard time. You know, the industry sort of looked down a bit on Patnack and what the different things they were doing, and to be part of that, and probably the person up the front line, it probably took a bit of time to get your reputation back, maybe. I don't know, hopefully we have and moved on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah,
any doubt.
Yeah, no. And just finally, John, First Seal runs well in the Myer. Could she back up in the McKinnon, which has now been put back to the last day of the carnival? The new Emirates, I should call it.
It is a possibility, but I'd have to see how she pulled up and all that sort of thing. But her main goal has been the Myer.
Yeah. Now we'll get to the Myer first.
That's it.
Look, John, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. Congratulations, seeing the mare back in terrific form yesterday, and he's hoping she reproduces that performance in the Myer Classic for you in 2 weeks.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John Thompson. Great to have him on the program, and he's obviously very excited about First Seal, and understandably so. Sounds like Jimmy is trying to get another Sunday added to the present calendar. Mother-in-Law Day. Not really. Certainly, Bill Baker wasn't trying. Also, lowest sporting act by an individual was the rigid Hopewadi finger mess, the great Giorgini. Giorgini's a tribute quiz winner from us, wasn't
he? That's right. Yeah,
Giorgini, yeah. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's get the callers. Now, we've got Phil Moss coming up very shortly to speak A-League and English Premier League. G'day, Ron.
Hey, it's great up in here in Maury, Jimmy and Ray. How are you?
Good morning, Ron.
Yeah, mate, I reckon one of the most disgraceful things I've ever seen on a... I didn't actually see it. I read about it. Was when W.G. Grace was given clean and he wouldn't walk. And when queried by the umpire, he said, well, the crowd came out here to watch me bat and not him bowl.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's true, but I have read that. I've read that. It's a great story. Well,
you weren't there to see it, right?
No, I wasn't.
But what about when... When Bull, Laurie and Richie... Bull and Tony Gregg locked Richie out of the commentary box at the SCG.
Yes.
I mean, that was absolutely disgraceful.
Outrageous behaviour.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
And when the Storm turned up to play Manly in the grand final, I mean, you know, they were tanking.
Oh, No Cameron Smith.
Come on,
Ron.
So Cameron was worth 40 points, right?
Oh, it wasn't worth 40, no.
No, he was worth 38. There would have been 2 points in it.
2 points.
Yeah, good on you, boys.
Good on you, Ron.
Thanks for your call, mate.
Appreciate that. Speaking of Manly Man Al is coming again. Morning, boys. You must give a shout-out to the people that stood up to the Baird government, especially that lady that crossed the floor. Who was that? That was Christina.
Dan, you're part of the
Yeah, Christina Hodgkinson, who's the member for Cootamundra. Great integrity, people from that part of the world.
Lost her position as a parliamentary secretary over there.
Yes, she did. She did. Against which resulted in a backflip over the greyhound ban, I think. I salute you all, Manly Man Al. What's your thoughts on that, Roman?
Well done, Manly Man Al. Oh, I think a common sense decision was made.
But was it common sense or just a decision because the other one was grossly unpopular?
Whatever side you want to take, whatever take you want to have on this issue, they've come to the right decision. That's all I worry about now. Look, people might say that it was expedient politics by the Baird government. Probably was, Jim. But at the end of the day, people have got their livelihoods. The greyhound industry has got a chance to secure its future.
Put on notice.
Yes, and secure its future. And the sport can continue on. So, look, there's probably a couple of reasons why it got to that point. Most importantly, the falling polls. But at the end of the day, the right decision has been made, James Smith.
Phil Moss coming up next, talking all things football. 1353-53, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray and Jimmy.
This Saturday night, Sky Sports Radio covers the biggest and best in greyhound racing. From Melbourne, the meadows will come alive as Australia's best chasers clash in the Sky Racing Top Gun.
Fernando gets home. Fernando Bales runs the Top Gun from K to Shea.
In Sydney, Wentworth Park will shine with the Vic Peters Classic semi-finals. Don't miss top shelf greyhound racing Saturday night on Sky Sports Radio.
All grounds, all beaky. Franco won the champion stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
The Amarok Highline Runout Sale is on now. This top-of-the-line workhorse can be yours from only $53,990 drive away, including free 8-speed auto, plus $2,000 cash back. But you'll need to hurry, because with premium features like Bizenon headlights, a rear-view camera, satellite navigation and permanent four-wheel drive, you just know they won't be in the showroom for long. Offer ends October 31st. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
Did you know you are?
You're a hard man, Jimmy Smith.
Incredible. Did you know that each year at least four jockeys will be injured so badly they suffer a permanent disability? Mm. Yeah, this is a serious topic.
Exactly.
And over a third of jockeys are involved in a fall every year. Wow, that's a high number. Even the best jockeys can have their lives changed in an instant. That's why Lucrif Super is a proud partner of the National Jockeys Trust, ensuring strong, ongoing financial support for injured jockeys and their families. You'll see the Lucrif Super name on the backside of every jockey. Lucrif Super, the award-winning super fund. They've been helping members get a length ahead since 1978. To find out how Lucrif, that's L-U-C-R-F, L-U-C-R-F, to find out how Lucrif Super can help you, jump online today and search for Jockeys Backside.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Time now to talk some football. And if you're a Sydney FC fan, it's all blue skies at the
moment.
Eight goals, two weeks. And as you mentioned earlier, Ray, that was their issue last year, scoring goals. Doesn't seem to be a problem this year. Let's see what Phil Moss has to say about that. G'day, Phil.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Phil.
Just before we get to the games last night, our talk topic this morning is on the back of Nick Kyrgios lobbing up a little second serve at the Shanghai Masters, the most disgraceful things and the disappointing things you've seen on the sporting field. What about from your point of view? What have you seen on a football field that left you very disappointed?
Interesting topic, guys. Friday night, West Sydney Wanderers against Adelaide, down in Adelaide, a Brendan Santelab tackle on James Holland. It was a yellow card was dished up for it. 100% should have been a red card. No place for it on the football pitch. Brendan Santelab, great guy, fantastic player. Went on to score two goals, including the winner.
Wow.
But he should never have survived that tackle. He should have been in the showers, and they should have turned the hot water off.
Yeah, that's extraordinary, yeah, because he is a super sub, isn't he, Phil? And he did turn that game around when he came on, and that's the first time the Western Sydney Wanderers have actually won a game in their first three to start a season.
That's right, yeah, they certainly got that monkey off the back. Yeah. But I was disappointed with the challenge, but I was also disappointed with Brendan's post-match comment, and I know it came very quickly after the game, but to turn around and say that's football, well, I'm sorry, but that's not football. There's no place on the pitch for it. But delighted for Tony Popovich and his players that they finally got that result, because they've made three grand finals in the 4 years of their existence, but never won in the opening two rounds. So it's good that they got that that result. It was a fantastic game of football, end-to-end, great intensity to it, and certainly was in line with the first two rounds that we've seen this season, just phenomenal football.
Fox Sports had the countdown on to the Timmy Cahill debut, Australia's sports leader, obviously. The derby last night, how'd you see it? How'd you see the performance of Tim? Like, we've all seen
the goal,
the wonder goal, but what about overall, Phil?
The Sydney game or the Melbourne game?
No, the Melbourne game.
Oh, look, first of all, we have to talk about that goal because, you know, Timmy Cahill is the chosen one. I've got absolutely no doubt. He's scored some unbelievable goals at, you know, in the English Premier League, on the World Cup stage, and now he comes back to the A-League on his debut at 36 and delivers a 35-metre screamer.
Yeah.
The level of technical difficulty, it's off the Richter. You can't even put a number on it, but it was just phenomenal, and it just set... You know, he talked the talk and then he walked the walk. But the game itself was very, very one-sided and worryingly so for Kevin Muscat. Did Melbourne Victory get caught up in the hype of it surrounding Timmy Cahill? If so, well, Timmy did a great job keeping his own players level-headed. But it was just a phenomenal exhibition of attacking football and the combinations with new players in the team. And Timmy trained for two sessions because he's been away with the Socceroos and fitted in like a hand in a glove. Just a great, great night. 43,000 watching it and millions more on TV.
That's been another really encouraging sign, hasn't it, Phil? The 40-odd thousand you mentioned last night for the Melbourne Derby. Last week, over 60,000 turned up for the Sydney Derby. It's a terrific start for the A-League this season.
It really is. And credit to FFA for scheduling two derbies in the first two rounds. The Sydney Derby last week, as you said, Melbourne last night. And, you know, we needed to start this season with a bang. Last season it started with a whimper. The television rights deal is up for renegotiation, so the game needed to start and start strongly this season. So that's been achieved. Now we need to continue that momentum. But the quality of the games has been very, very encouraging. Not just the big moments, but the so-called nondescript games have also risen to good levels. So we've all got to keep the bar at the level we've set and beyond. And, you know, that's a challenge for every one of us in the game.
Well, Graham Arnold was facing a challenge and it was scoring goals last year. No problems this year. Do we get carried away if you're a Sky Blue supporter?
Look, you can't get carried away in round two, but there's certain signs you look for as a coach and as a supporter early in the season. And the pattern of, the marquee magic, Holosko and Babo, scoring 2 weeks in a row, and their ex-marquee and leader, Alex Brosk, also scoring off the bench 2 weeks in a row. I mean, you can't go past, you know, those little signs that tell you they're in for a good year. And it's not just in the attacking third, it's also you know, they've got such good balance all over the pitch. The two boys behind the front three, or the front four, I should say, in O'Neill and Josh Brilliante are doing a magnificent job just setting that platform and allowing those four guys to express themselves. But it's all over the pitch. Danny Vukovic in goal has really brought, you know, a firmness to the back of the pitch and a real authority. Mm. So, you know, that, God willing, they stay injury-free. For Sydney FC supporters, they're in for a bumper year.
Mm. Let me switch to the EPL if I can, Phil. A couple of big games overnight. Man City and Everton in particular, one all draw, but big one coming up, Liverpool v Man U.
Oh, me v you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Just quickly, two Arsenal, three Swansea, two yep. Chelsea, three Leicester, nil. So the champions are definitely not in a good place at the moment. But, yeah, that blockbuster on Monday night or Tuesday morning our time. Jose Mourinho has gone to Anfield 10 times and only lost 3 times.
Extraordinary record, yeah.
So that's an interesting stat there. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a Liverpool supporter, died in the wool. Jurgen Klopp has been just a breath of fresh air at Anfield. He's just celebrated his one-year anniversary at the club. And he's just making such great strides forward. I've got to back my Liverpool to get the result at home and hopefully make that four losses out of 11 games for the chosen one, Jose Mourinho.
I'm with you, Phil.
Hang on a minute. You said you're a lifelong Liverpool fan, Phil.
He's a good man, Phil Moss.
Yeah.
So that means absolutely. We can discount that tip altogether. Because
you're doing
it with the heart,
knowledge,
not the head.
Expert. And
well, no,
I'm a Man United man.
There's statistics behind it, though.
Exactly, yeah. I'm with Phil all the way here.
Fair enough. All right, and then the other couple of A-League games that are on to round out round two for this week.
Yep, Brisbane travel down to Newcastle this afternoon.
Yep.
It's going to be a hot one. Interesting game. It's a tough place to go, but Brisbane's statistics are very good there. They've won more often than not. Newcastle, new boy Kako is out. With a calf strain. Daniel Mullen did his knee last week, so he's out. But for the home side, Brown was very impressive last week, scoring a good goal. Naboo, who came from Melbourne Victory, very impressive. So they've got some good things happening up at Newcastle, but I think Brisbane will be too strong in that one.
Okay, Perth, Glory, Wellington. Yeah.
Perth and Wellington. How did Perth bounce back from last week? They were 3-0 up against the Mariners at halftime, cruising. And gave up that lead to end up with a point in the remarkable 3-3 draw against a team that came stone cold last season. So, you know, that will have put a dent in their pride in the dressing room. How they respond to that is the big question for today. Wellington have recruited well. They get their national team New Zealand players back. So Barbarousis comes back into the team. Durante, their captain and leader. So it's a tricky one over in the West, but it's the distance derby, the longest travel of any domestic game in world football. So, Wellington will have to deal with that trouble. I think Perth will be too strong, and I think Kenny Lowe will get them to bounce back quickly.
I'll tell you what the A-League can do. They can throw up a derby, the distance derby.
Fair
dinkum, Phil.
Distance derby, the F3 derby, the Sydney derby, the Melbourne derby.
Melbourne derby.
Is there a derby?
Tribalism at its best.
Yeah, fair dinkum.
And go the mighty Liverpool.
Marketing 1.0, that one. Good on you, Phil. We'll speak again next week.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks,
there
Phil.
There he is, Phil Moss.
Good to be in, Phil Moss.
225. Yeah, so he's gone up in your estimation,
absolutely,
hasn't he?
Absolutely.
Just dropped a little in mine.
You're a hard man, James Smith.
Perth Glory, he thought, could get the job done there, $1.60. And he, just to remind everyone, he tipped Liverpool, can you believe it, against Manchester United. You're all right, lad. Now, call now. If you would like to be part of the quiz, call now. It's the Event Cinemas quiz, courtesy of Prakash and the team.
Best in the business,
out there, apparently. Easily. I think multiple years now.
Multiple years.
He's been awarded the best in the business. So the double pass to Event Cinemas is up for grabs. If you want to be a part of the quiz, call now. 1353 53.
Midweek racing is fully covered on Sky Sports Radio.
This Wednesday from 9:30, get your Sydney preview lowdown with form analysts Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas, plus the latest tab markets. Racing HQ, every Wednesday on Sky Sports Radio.
Bingley's new kitchen and laundry catalogue is out now. Buy any built-in oven, fridge, dishwasher, washing machine or dryer in it and you'll receive a bonus Bingley gift card worth 10% of your purchase.
That's a great domestic deal.
Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Domestic deal?
Yes.
Mum, all this month, get a bonus 10% Bingley gift card with any built-in oven, fridge, dishwasher, washer or dryer from our latest kitchen and laundry catalogue.
And there's a great domestic deal more in store.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Amarok Highline Runout Sale is on now. This top-of-the-line workhorse can be yours from only $53,990 drive away, including free 8-speed auto, plus $2,000 cash back. But you'll need to hurry, because with premium features like Bi-Xenon headlights, a rear-view camera, satellite navigation, and permanent four-wheel drive, you just know they won't be in the showroom for long. Offer ends October 31st. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
On the line is Stuart, who found love earlier than expected.
That's right. Yeah, it was just after the third leg of the quaddie.
Go on.
Well, I was 3 from 3 and even had a roughie in there, but the last leg had me nervous, the quaddie killer. So I went for Tab's quaddie cash out and still came out in front.
That'll settle the nerves. If you love an early collect, cash out of your quaddie this spring carnival with Tab's quaddie cash out.
Tab, we love a bet.
Terms and conditions at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Time now for the Event Cinemas quiz. Call now if you'd like to be part of the quiz. 1353 53. I'm going to go first up with Rodney.
You're open the bowling.
I'm going to
Northern
open the bowling. And so if you want to play for Raymond, call now. Hello, Rodney.
G'day, Jimmy.
Here we go, mate. For the Event Cinemas quiz, question one. Oh, just an update on the score overall, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're 21. I'm 20.
This is like a match race like Hartnell v Winks, isn't it?
This is a ding-dong battle. This is.
That'll be 21 all, Jimmy.
Oh, I love your confidence, Rodney. Love your confidence. Here we go. Which former league star was inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame this week?
Wally Lewis.
Good start. Good solid start.
Well done. Well done. Which Australian cricket selector will step down in June 2017?
Rod Marsh.
Well done, Rodney.
There are clues, Rodney.
He doesn't need them.
There are clues if you want them. Doesn't need them. Okay. Here we go. UFC superstar Ronda Rousey is set to make her return in December at UFC number what? Is it 206, 207, or 208?
208.
Oh! A little slip up there, Rodney. And unfortunately for you, it was 207. So 2 from 3, not a bad effort.
Good solid start.
Not a bad effort. All right, you're up now, Raymond.
I think we've got Alan on the line there. Alan, good morning.
Hi, guys.
Okay, Alan, you need 2 to tie, 3 to win, so best of luck. Who was the Don Award winner at the Sport Australia Hall of Fame dinner this week? Anna Mears, Michelle Payne, or Kim Brennan?
I think it was Michelle Payne.
Oh, solid start from my man Alan here. Question number two. Who is the current captain of the Kiwi Rugby League team? Is it Jesse Bromwich, Sean Johnson, or Isaac Luke?
It's a good question. I reckon it's Jesse Bromwich.
Outstanding. 2 from 2. Here we go.
Hang on. Is it Jesse Bromwich or Jesse Bromwich?
Doesn't matter. You got it right.
Alan. Well done, Alan.
Okay, Alan. Here, don't worry about Jimmy. Just the tactics have put
he's
you off, Alan.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a dribbler. I like that. That might be your new nickname.
Hang on, Alan. Yeah. You're not related to Adrian, by chance.
No. Come on. Question number three. Question number three. Concentrate, Alan. This is important. This is to go 22-20, Jane Smith. Which of these tennis tournaments has Nick Kyrgios never won? The Japan Open, the Open 13, or the Estoril Open?
I've got no idea, mate. I'll go the second one, Open 13.
Oh, a tiebreaker.
Oh, how good's that?
Okay.
Yes.
Pressure.
The Estoril Open. He was a runner-up in 2015. So there you go.
Won the Japan Open.
Now we've got to go the tiebreaker.
Okay. Alan, you're first up, so here we go. Best of luck. What is the current world ranking of South African Charles? Charles Schwartzwell.
Schwartzwell.
20.
20, okay. Stay on the line.
Rodney's here. Hello, Rodney.
Yeah, hello.
All right, here we go. What is the current world ranking of South African Charles Schwartzel?
28.
Oh!
Hang on. So who wins that?
It's actually 25. So Alan said 20. Rodney said 28.
Rodney wins.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes, Rodney.
21 all.
You, hey, Rodney, we went down to the wire, but you were right. 21 all.
Time to be 21 all.
Well done, Rodney.
Well done,
Rock
Rodney.
Solid.
Mate, you stay on the line. We're going to get your details. We're going to send you out the double pass to Event Cinemas, courtesy of Prakash and the team at Parramatta. Wow, what emotion. What a win for the ages there for Rodney. And as a result of that, Raymond, it's 21. Hang on, let me cross out that number.
Forget Winks and Arden. This is a race.
There we go. Oh, what high drama here on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend. Look, it's so pumped up. We need to take a break.
So you can calm down.
Then we'll be back with more.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
With lips closed and eyes sealed, your sculpture with a pulse. I want to capture your essence and keep it here forever, little one. You feel nothing as I send your soul away. How long will you last? And how long will you stay? As guilty as a feeler.
And welcome back to the show. And
have
Jim
you come down, Ray?
No, I'm worried about you. Your heart rate's gone through the roof.
Oh, I'm wearing one of those heart rate monitors now, haven't I?
See, you're bouncing.
You take my pulse rate.
How many coffees you had this morning?
None. I don't drink coffee.
No, you don't.
Imagine
you
if I did
tea.
Drink coffee.
Yeah, you'd be bouncing.
Yeah.
But anyway, 21 all. It's a match race for the ages, this one.
And look,
when do we pull up stumps for this, by the way?
I don't know. It's a good question. I suppose Christmas?
We're not on Christmas Day, are we?
No, we're
is
not.
Is that confirmed or not?
They're not making us work Christmas Day, and they're not making us work New Year's Day.
Are you sure about that?
Reasonably.
Okay. So it'll be the 18th.
18th, yeah. Well,
so right down to the wire.
Right, it could be ding dong, down to the wire.
What happens if...
get the photo. We might have to get the photo in.
What do you want or I get for winning it?
Oh, that's a good question. Look, I'm confident...
Why don't we shout?
Get all our hard work here that producer Jeremy has come up with something as a... You know, I would be confident of that.
Yeah, and he just held it up on the screen.
What was it?
Zero. Absolutely nothing.
Someone said, I'll bet there'll be more backflips from the Baird government before the next election. We'll have to wait and see. Here's another one, Jimmy and Ray. One of the most disgraceful incidents to occur on a sporting arena was the stabbing of a 19-year-old Monica Sellers at Hamburg in 1993 in front of a capacity crowd. Cheers, John from Moorbank. Good one.
Yeah, the bloke was a Steffi Graf fan, wasn't
Massive
he?
Massive Steffi Graf fan, yeah. She came back and did
one,
come back.
One more major.
Yeah, Monica Sellers?
Yeah, won the Australian Open 96 by memory, I think it was.
She's a real star.
Yeah.
She's a real star. And well, lovely girl from all
some,
reports.
Some people waiting on the line with their contributions to the talk topic. Dave's on the line. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. How are you?
Terrific, really well, Dave. Mate.
Eric Cantona comes to mind.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
the flying kick.
The flying kick.
Yeah. Who was that? Which team was that against? Was it Aston Villa?
I'm pretty sure it was Villa, Jimmy. And our mighty Man United boys. Hope they do get over Liverpool.
Yeah.
But, that was definitely a moment of madness, apart from Hollywood Hartley's 7-tackle grand final.
Oh, yes.
That's got to be up there, too. I only saw Hollywood last year.
Morning, Greg.
Going through Mudgee, and I mentioned it to him because I had a Parramatta jersey on, and give me a bit of stick about that. And I think, have you learnt to count yet, Holly? So, good old bloke, old Holly.
Yeah, no, great.
He can still have a bit of a laugh about it, but definitely can. No, that was madness.
Good call, Dave.
Hey, Dave, was at Bathurst last week?
I missed you, mate. I don't know if you got me messages, but I was certainly on the lookout, but I know you're a man of professionalism, and I just couldn't find you, Jimmy. I would have caught up with you, but what a great race and what a great weekend and a great week it was. But I knew it was Brocky's 10 years, but that crowd was massive.
Dave, you didn't see Jimmy Smith running around the iconic track?
I know it'd be hard. I saw him when he was walking it, and well done on that, Jimmy, because that's a feat in its own walking that track.
Oh, it was great. We ran for a little bit steep there at different stages.
Yeah, I don't think you would have. Yeah, you would have pulled up quick because I've tried running it several years ago, and I think I got to from the grid start to the corner, and that was the end of me, and that was only flat. So
Dave, Jimmy says when you're there, you don't get a, unless you're there, sorry, you don't get a real appreciation of how steep the rise is up to the top of the mountain.
Yeah, right. And not only that, but even these blokes driving, and this is and Jimmy, you'd know it yourself, being there and seeing how steep it is. How like it's a 60-kilometre track, Monday to Friday or Monday to Sunday, but these blokes do it in areas across the top, and you know how steep it is coming down, Jimmy.
Yeah,
they're doing 200 down there. They're mad.
Yeah. I was amazed. I was amazed at the steepness of the descent. Off the top of the mountain. That was just
incredible.
Speaking
of Baptist, it's still in doubt.
Yeah, we won't find out until Tuesday, I think it is, whether Jamie Wincup has that 15-second penalty either dismissed or reduced.
That's 9 days.
Garth Tander on Friday.
Yeah. What did he say?
He said, I don't think I'm betraying a confidence here, but he felt that the 15-second penalty should stand, that Jamie Wincup was at fault. And the redress issue that Mark Scaife was so scathing about it comes unstuck when there's more than two cars involved. So Scott McLaughlin was off.
Came back
so,
on.
So Jamie Wincup tried to redress, and then it impacted on Garth Tander, who was just behind him. So,
but 9 days, that's ridiculous, Jim.
Congratulations to Will Davison and Jonathan Webb on the win, but gee, that was high drama, 10 laps to go, wasn't it?
It was.
At Bathurst. Did you have it on? I had it on last Sunday.
We actually went out with about 2 laps to go, didn't we, Tan? We were sort of, we're watching a little bit of it and we had to go out.
Chinese food.
Yeah.
You went out with 2 laps to go at Bathurst. Well, you know what I'm going to describe that as?
It's sacrilege.
Is that on the topic?
Yes, exactly. But Dave Ray Thomas and Tanya Thomas walked out of their house with 2 laps to go at Bathurst. By the way, that Eric Cantona kick was against Crystal Palace.
Oh, Crystal Palace. Wasn't
Crystal
Villa.
Palace. Okay. It wasn't Aston Villa.
They call it the Kung Fu kick on YouTube.
Yeah, the Kung Fu kick. What a player, Eric Cantona.
He was a great player. He was a force of nature, wasn't he, Eric Cantona?
Sir Alec Ferguson always said the best £1 million that he ever spent was getting Eric Cantona from Leeds United, because he used to be there first to training, last to leave, and he showed all those young guys
Cantona?
Coming. Yes?
Wow.
You don't think that of players, do you?
No, not a Cantona.
Flamboyant.
Yeah.
He said first to training, last to leave, and practice. And he showed all those guys like your Ryan Giggs and your David Beckhams and your Nicky Barks and all of those guys, that generation that came through for Man United, this is what you have to do to be successful.
He was a great player, but he crossed that line though, Jimmy.
On that occasion, undoubtedly. I loved his Nike ads where he just flick up the collar and say, au revoir. Fantastic. Time now to get an update on the scratchings around New South Wales. For the first time, it's not the first time. Just told us she walked out on the race with 2 laps to go. Morning, Tan.
Alrighty. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today at Wyong and Nowra. We'll start with Wyong, where the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail true, and there are 8 scratchings. Race 1, take out 2, Solar Girl, number 2. Out of race 2, number 2, Just Away, number 2. Race 3, take out 2, Mr. Tickets, and 7, Latimer, 2 and 7. Race 4, number 1, Planet Reality, number 1 from race 4. Out of race 5, number 1, Duke's Call, and 7, Alpha Sun, 1 and 7 from race 5. Race 6, take out 7, Thorn in My Side, number 7 from race 6, and races 7 and 8 are clear. To Nowra, the weather also fine, the track a good 3. The rail is out 3 metres from the 800 to the 350, and there are 9 scratchings. Race 1, take out 10, She's a Dancer, number 10 from race 1. Race 2, number 5, Yellowtail, number 5. Out of the 3rd, take out 5, Innocent Game, 5 from race 3. Out of race 4, number 4, Silver Art, 9, Gravitate, 16, Ellie Beach, and 17, Girl in the Picture. 4, 9, 16, and 17 from race 4. Race 5, number 2, Dashley Duba, number 2 from race 5. Race 6, number 8, Fabulous Dragon, number 8 from race 6. And race 7 at Nowra is clear.
A couple of tips today, Tan, and a couple of important scratchings here. Mr. Ticket, scratch from Wyong, runs in the first at Nowra. Will just win. Race 1, number 3, Mr. Tickets. Best bet of the day is in the second. We should have asked Bjorn Baker about this. Race 2, number 4, The Amateur, also at Nowra. Really hard to beat. At Wyong this afternoon, I thought the best was in the last. Race 8, number 1, Chicago Stomp for the Godolphin Camp. In race 5, I noticed Kim Waugh scratched the top weight, Duke's Call, relying on number 4, Uptown Lad. It'd be really hard to beat race 5, number 4, Uptown Lad.
So there you go. Race 5, number 4 at Wyong, Uptown Lad, $3. And race 8, number 1, Chicago Stomp, $2.40. Mm-hmm. And we go to Nowra, race 1, number 3, Mr. Tickets Will Just Win. You heard it here, $3.50. Race 2, number 4, The Amateur for Bjorn Baker. And it's $3.20 is the current price in the
We had a couple
newspaper.
Of winners last week too, Jimmy.
Did you go again?
Yeah.
Hey, here's a couple more. Bang on a minute. Are you keeping a record of that?
No, but...
Yes, you are. Look at the look in your face. Look out.
I wasn't.
Come on, where are you at? Come on, how many...
I'm putting I don't know. Well, the money goes in the back pocket. That's the main thing.
Well, that is the main thing. Yeah.
I can't remember this. Adam McDougall stomping on Jeff Tuvey's face.
You can't remember
in the 1997 Grand Final.
Oh, infamous incident.
Yeah. Eagle-eyed Phil.
Yeah, oh, well, all those Manly fans, they remember it.
And this is extraordinary. For the first time in 13 years, neither Roger Federer or Rafael Nadal are in the men's top four rankings. Era has ended.
Wow. Yeah, well, there you go. And we see Novak Djokovic lost overnight as well in the Shanghai Masters.
Back in the season has been disappointing, hasn't it?
Well,
US Open, Olympics, etc.
He's
had some
pretty high standards that he set throughout the last couple of years. So, yeah, we do understand that. Hey, boys, when you interview Monty Panesar, could you ask him what it was like to bowl to Adam Gilchrist the day he scored the second fastest Test 100?
That was in Perth, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'll tell you something about that, Matt. In doing my research on Monty Panesar, Gilly went berserk in that second innings.
In
the first innings, Monty Panesar bowled two balls to him. The second one, he dismissed him. Monty Panesar in that test match, it was the first one he played of the 2006-07 series. He was left out of the first and second tests. He was the first Englishman ever, the English spinner, to get a 5-wicket haul at the Wacker.
Gee. Gilly got his revenge in the second innings.
Certainly did, yeah. Monty told...
One of the great innings.
We'll let Monty tell the story because he is our legend of the game
looking
and that's coming
up
after 8 o'clock. Yeah, he's a character.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
He's had a bit of trouble over the years, but he's definitely a character. He displayed that the other night at the St Gregory's College Sportsperson's Function, so we can look forward to that. Trent Lenskow is up too from tab.com.au. We'll get a sports update from Tanya and Stewie Clark will wrap up what's been a... very tumultuous week in the world of cricket. The other thing I want to ask you about, Australia lose 5-0.
That was horrendous.
And to hear the assistant coach come out and say, oh, we'll be much better when we get home. Imagine if we said that. Imagine if a touring team said that in Australia.
You're playing for Australia.
They would be bagged. Mm. They would be hounded out of the country. All that
5-0.
Coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.